The following presentation is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, home to a vast array of sports and entertainment podcasts, including The Blind Tag, Thursday Night Destruction, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, Neckbreaker, Two and a Half Wrestlers featuring The Pat Buck Show, The Midnight Jury and After Midnight, Inconclusive Breakdown, and The Shining Wizards. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. There are many ways in which you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Perhaps the easiest way is to head on over to iTunes and Stitcher Radio and leave us a review. If you do any shopping at Amazon, go over to ShiningWizards.com and click the Amazon banner. It's not going to cost you anything extra, and a small percentage of your purchase will go to support the show. If you'd like to purchase one of our logo shirts, head on over to ShiningWizards.com/merch and pick one of our latest styles. Or head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards for our Shining Wizards Network and tons of other designs. If you'd like to be our friend on Facebook, join us at Shining Wizards. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, do so at Wizards Podcast. And if you'd like to send us any kind of email, you can do so at WizardsPodcast@gmail.com. The Shining Wizards Podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, at GeekLifeRadio.com, and of course, at ShiningWizards.com. From all of us at the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy.
This is Tito Santana, and you are listening to the Shining Wizards. Arriba!
Ladies and gentlemen, a happy Cinco de Mayo from the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. We are live from Studio A tonight.
Sono en vivo!
Orale!
Wouldn't it be Feliz Cinco de Mayo?
Yeah, but I mean...
Come on.
Feliz Cinco de Mayo! What? Unlike the fight Saturday night, you will not be disappointed with this episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where it's wrestling talk.
And talking about the wrestling.
Wow.
I'm Super Callow.
Soy Místico.
Yo soy Cibernético.
Damn, everyone went yo soy like an ass. I said I am. Ugh.
Dude, that's your... Your Spanglish, kicking it off right.
My Spanglish is
happy
awful.
Cinco de Mayo, and I am Super Calo.
I am Super Calo.
Yo soy un douchebag.
It is our Cinco de Mayo celebration. We have a former WWE superstar JTG calling in.
Money.
Cheer.
To talk about his electronic book, which is dropping this week.
Oh, it's an e-book.
I believe so. Let me go to the email from the JTG.
Go into the email about the e-book.
JT Jizzle, as Booker T always called him, which I always found very creepy.
Damn, why did I write this book?
Is it funny?
Is the name of his book, and it's apparently a lot of heat involved in it.
I'm excited to talk to him about this because I didn't realize that JTG. I mean, I know that they got released at one point and came back. I didn't realize there was a whole lot of heat there, but very excited to see what he has to say about the book and his stories from WWE.
Now, I hate to bring up old news and past guests, but didn't one man, Mike Dell, have a run-in with one of the...
No, that was Elijah Burke.
Yes, that was Elijah Burke.
See, I'm making poor assumptions already. I'm glad I cleared that up.
It's all good, man.
I
understand why you did it, but we're not going to go there.
Because
they're all talented, that's why.
There it is. Talented is the word.
I mean, I don't want to slander JTG, but I mean... Him and Elijah Burke, they do fall into the mid-card madness.
This is true. And the other thing I was thinking about, too, is when Stevie Ray was talking about how these guys were saddled with crime time.
That's who we talked about.
He wasn't
it with.
A fan about of that.
Yeah. Okay. I was thinking about that all day and why that came to my head about the whole crime time and how African Americans are portrayed. It was Stevie Ray that we talked about that.
Yeah,
with.
I think I'm sure that JTG is going to bring stuff up like that in his book because he's got a lot of stories to tell.
I'm going to ask him about that tonight for sure. Absolutely.
And when this book drops tomorrow, I highly recommend purchasing it. I will be doing so because I need literature for the train in the morning.
Well, yeah. I highly recommend you enjoy some 1800 margarita mix.
Yeah, this is good stuff.
On your Cinco de Mayo.
Is this Mr. Cuervo?
It is. Nice. I was
see how I could taste that?
I feel like I should have like a point taken away from my wrestling card because I don't own a lucha mask.
Boo.
And
boo.
Like 5 minutes before we started, I was like, Tony, do you have a lucha mask? Because I would have tried to do the whole episode in a lucha mask.
No, you wouldn't have made it 5 minutes.
You would be sweating your face off. With that
literally.
Beard and the mask.
I have Super Kolo. I have, I forget who the actual wrestler is, but I have like the full purple mask that we used to use for Revelations.
JL, even though he wasn't really a luchador.
No, it's an official luchador match. I can't remember who it belongs to. The mask, sorry.
It's okay.
Misspeaking already. Thank you, Mr. Cuervo. Oh, and you know who else I have upstairs? I have the Sid mask. The infamous Sid mask.
Nice, rock
where
the
Matt
Sid
really
mask.
Hit his head.
Matt is that took like, like an old like Halloween mask?
Yes.
From like the mid-90s?
Yes. Matt took an Irish whip into my deck, and he busted his head open legit under the mask.
Hard way.
And as he hits the floor, all you hear is, I really hit my head.
That hurt. What are you going to do?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Maybe. I don't have a lucha mask. I have a Japanese mask. I have Hayabusa. So
I'm sorry.
No, do you just sit in a chair in your house?
I scared the living hell out of my roommate. Oh, I get it. He's walking now.
Yeah, and FMW is actually back, which we haven't touched on, have we?
Is it really?
Yeah,
it's
that's
planning
the word.
On a comeback.
Is it Onita?
I think so.
Yeah, it's Hayabusa. I think it's Onita. Can pull it up on
God.
The old, interweb.
That's awful. Is there really a market for that anymore?
I think so.
But it was all garbage. Like exploding, like Hayabusa was great. Him and Mike Awesome had awesome matches.
Ha.
Gladiator Mike Awesome, yeah, whatever you want to call him.
Wasn't he the one that paralyzed him?
No, he paralyzed himself.
It wasn't a powerbomb to the outside
no,
of the
No, he was trying to do a triple jump moonsault.
Ah, that's right.
He slipped off the rope.
Yeah, but no, Hayabusa, whenever I played virtual pro wrestling, too, we always had a stable of guys, and Hayabusa was one of my... He was my best guy. He wasn't the leader, though. Jushin Thunder Liger was the leader. But I always had Hayabusa. He was always my go-to guy when we did five-on-five matches in virtual pro wrestling, too.
I feel like we should be talking about like Mexican wrestlers.
We could talk about everything. This is what we call the opening...
Cinco de Mayo.
I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. Let me... Hold on. I want to see if he can walk again.
You want to talk about
Oh! He can stand on his own and walk with a cane.
Yeah.
He's also a singer.
Hayabusa?
Yeah.
Like Terry Funk? Or better?
I don't know. He appeared in the low-budget wrestling movie Backyard Dogs and in Mask Day 41 as the Red Falcon.
Was he? Oh, that's right. You know what? I do remember him as a singer now that I think about it. Because he never took the mask off.
Huh.
Did he?
I don't know.
I don't know. But
post-retirement, he was a singer. He promoted a company, WFM, Wrestling's Marvelous Future.
I don't know. Whatever.
Ugh.
Whatever. Hayabusa.
Yeah.
Cinco de Mayo. We could talk about the lucha influence in American wrestling.
Can we talk about how we're live? If you are listening to this live.
Sure.
Let us know on the Facebook page, the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast page. Don't go to that Matthew Bowman thing because we're still in the doghouse with Facebook, still fighting them to figure out what we're going to do about our name. But back to Cinco de Mayo and the Mexican heritage of wrestling.
I was watching the Monday Night Wars on the network, the Cruiserweight episode. And they were, Matt, you're hammered already, aren't you?
No, I'm just all jacked up again.
I was watching that, and they did a comparison of how WWE tried to like influx the AAA guys from...
Yeah, they picked the leftover meat.
Yeah, the worst guys ever, and compared to what WCW had, it just came across so bad.
It wasn't the absolute worst. Didn't they get Mil Máscaras in?
For a Royal Rumble.
Yeah, and then he eliminated himself like a jackoff.
Which, that pissed me off. If you go through the ropes and then up to the top rope and go knocked out, get knocked out, you shouldn't be eliminated.
No,
you unless the turnbuckle is back in the ring in play.
See, the rules change to fit the year. Like, 1 year, Shawn Michaels got thrown out by Vader, but because Vader wasn't legal, it didn't count. But then other years, other guys have been thrown out even though they weren't in the match anymore. Like, by people who weren't in the match anymore. So it doesn't make sense. They do what they need to do to fit the story.
Yeah.
When was the, maybe like 2 months ago, I watched the 97 Rumble.
That's what it was. Perot, that, Cibernetico, Mascaris, Heavy Metal.
Perot.
The six-man.
Wait, Van Hammer?
What's that?
I always think of Van Hammer when I hear the name Heavy Metal.
The six-man tag match was awful.
I literally just watched this like 2 days ago, the 97 Rumble.
It was awful.
I kind of enjoyed the minis, but I think they played it out too fast. Like Mini Vader and Mini...
Mini Mankind?
Who was the other guy? The other guy, the guy in the white suit.
Mascarita Sagrada.
Was that him?
Yeah. But he had Max Mini was his name.
Max Mini, there you go.
But he was Mascarita Sagrada. He was brought back like six times for WWE.
Do you remember there's footage that went viral? I think it was AAA. The midget was in a gorilla suit sitting on the apron, and somebody hit the ropes and drop-kicked him off, and he went backwards, and he banged his head on the floor.
Lillian Garcia style?
Ah!
Silly little midgets.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, WWF, really dropped the ball with the influx of the Mexicans.
Yo, why is your microphone so quiet? I don't understand.
I don't know. You're in charge of this stuff.
Yeah, I know, but Kevin and I sound loud and clear, and you sound like you're coming through my anus.
This is why we can't have nice things.
Of course not.
Did you ever notice Lana spelled backwards as anal?
That's where she likes it. Maybe that's why they want to change her name.
Do they really want to change her name?
Well, they're changing...
CJ something. CJ Parker? Or is that the...
That's the kid that just got released a couple weeks ago.
No, but they were talking about it on Busted Open. Did you listen to Busted Open?
I didn't catch it this week.
That was like the whole point of their show, was talking about splitting Lana and Rusev.
Well, who would want to split Lana? Me.
I would.
Hi-yo.
Did
you guys watch any... Hold on. We didn't even touch upon it last week.
What, Little Boys?
I haven't been watching TNA, but I've heard nothing but great things about this Dollhouse.
I love it.
All I know is that Mia Yim is in it, and I love Mia Yim.
What is Dollhouse?
It's like this new... It started out as like a two-man group, as we always say. Mia Yim, and I forget the other one's name. But then now Taryn Terrell is now like... the focal point. I didn't watch TNA this week, unfortunately.
Oh, this is a TNA thing.
Yeah, it's a TNA thing.
Gotcha.
And the Dollhouse is super over and super money. And I made the point of that on Facebook and stuff. So, I didn't watch. Did you guys? I didn't watch Impact this week, unfortunately. So.
Yeah, I watched it.
Did you?
Did you really?
No.
Oh, I haven't been watching much wrestling. I'm not gonna lie about
it. It's a great thing we do a wrestling podcast.
No, I've just been so busy with work, then I come home and I get aggravated because I want to watch the Mets lose and. You know,
5 of 6.
Beat the Mets. Beat the Mets.
Then the WWE product doesn't really interest me.
Although Raw was pretty damn good.
That's what I heard. I heard a lot of people raving about Monday Night Raw. Ambrose had a good match, yes.
Yeah, and now he's in the main event for Fastlane.
He beat Rollins, yes?
Yes.
We lost the stream, by the way, but we're back up and running. Yeah, Ustream's being a bitch.
Ustream. I stream. We all stream. Shut up, Kevin.
Yes,
okay.
Kevin, please shut up.
I will shut up.
Won't the real Kevin please shut up? Sorry.
Yeah, wow. No, but I mean, we're all over the place.
Yuck. That's all right. We like being all over the place. It's Mexico. Cinco de Mayo time. And in a couple more minutes, Bowman will be all over the place, too. Yes, I just broke kayfabe, so kiss my ass and bow wow.
Wait, why will I be all over the place?
Because you're hitting on the Jose Cuervo.
Favorite Mexican wrestler? Go.
Ooh.
Tito Santana.
Come back to me.
Tocula, Mexico. Arriba.
There's a lot of them, man.
Former two-time WWE Tag Team Champion. A former two-time Intercontinental Champion. And still working.
Yeah.
Still carrying around the AWF Championship. Although I will never forgive him for throwing away the green Intercontinental belt. Shame on you, Tito.
He was just working this past Saturday, wasn't he?
Of course he was.
You know?
I would go with, I'm not, it's hard. It's hard.
That's what she said.
To.
How do you say it's hard in Espanol? Es muy
hardo.
Es muy hardo.
Hardo, yes.
Hardo.
I'd have to go Guerrero, Eddie.
That's a good one.
He's Puerto Rican.
Is he?
I don't know.
No, he's Mexican. It'd be a toss-up between him and Ray.
Yeah, but isn't he from Texas? El Paso?
That's like that's where all the border jumpers go, bro.
I thought they go to Lopez's house.
Nothing like a good old racist Cinco de Mayo show.
El Paso is like 20 miles from Mexico. They just jump over the river.
And wasn't Tito's finishing move renamed El Paso de Muerte or some shit?
Was it really?
Like the Death Pass?
El Dandy is my favorite of all time.
I like that. That's a good one.
El Dandy. When him and Silver King formed that tag team towards the end of WCW, that was my favorite. When Bret Hart put over El Dandy as like a great worker in a backstage promo. It's like, I'm facing really stiff competition with El Dandy tonight. He's a great worker. Mean Gene Oakland buries the cruiserweight division.
Do you remember when Juventud and The Rock had their back and forth across shows?
Yeah.
You wrestled a guy named Juventud.
Rootin' Toot.
No, come on, dude. The fucking best Mexican wrestler ever is fucking La Parca.
Did you see the video?
Chairman of the
him?
Board?
Oh, that was you know what? That was really over.
Oh, the video where he punched a fan in the face?
Yeah, for grabbing his mask.
Hey, well, put your hands on a luchador, you're getting your grill wrecked.
Don't grab the mask.
Yeah, but there's so many of them, man.
Yeah, Ustream hates us tonight. It crashed two more times already.
We are...
apologies if you were listening to this live, but if you're checking us out on replay...
Is there a better server or a way to do it?
I don't know. It keeps spiking, and I'm shutting everything off here, and things are just not closing. I don't know.
It is what it is. Don't sweat it. If it shuts down, it shuts down. There's a reason why we record this stuff.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I picked up the ECW Volume 3.
Is the Blue Meanie in it? I heard he lied to us, and he's not in it at all.
He did lie to you.
Blue Meanie, boo.
He is in it. I haven't gotten around to watching it. I did watch the Warrior Always Believe documentary.
Wasn't that just an extended version of the special they did?
Yeah.
Is it the same thing?
Well, it's extended version with Dana Warrior.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they do, you know, they show the kids, and there's a couple more in-depth interviews and stuff with Hogan and Vince. And
I wonder how weird that is if she starts dating again. Like, if people, like, you know, like, oh, what's your name? Dana Warrior. Like, if people put that together.
She's probably already crushing.
Crushing.
I bet she is.
Nah, she's mourning, dude. She really loved the guy.
Yeah, it was how a long year, can you mourn for? You don't think someone's hit that since Warrior died?
Yeah.
I don't know. She's got two young kids in the house. Maybe she's not ready yet. I'm not saying I would care. All right, someone's, Dana Warrior, would you?
Daniel Bryan's hitting that.
Would you?
Yes.
Dana
Warrior.
Absolutely.
Would you split her like Lana?
I would.
I would put on the face paint.
I would do. I would run from downstairs all the way upstairs,
Dad.
And I'd blow myself up, and I'd fall asleep before Dad. I had the chance.
I'd blow myself up inside of her, and then shake her and run away.
That's how he used to put the face paint on. He would paint around her box, and then just dive headfirst into it, and then hit the ring.
God,
she's getting smashed by somebody.
No, come on, dude. Yeah, she's a nice woman.
Not questioning if she's a nice woman or not.
She married a wrestler.
We're just saying she's a sexy looking lady
who's getting crushed.
And she's got to get some.
Why? Kevin's so fucking adamant about that. She's like, she's getting crushed.
She is. We just said smashed and crushed in the same. So now we just need Bill Eadie to get in there and just give her the axe. Boom.
Boo.
Oh, you didn't realize that's where I was going?
No.
Of course I knew. Smash and crush?
I was trying to look the other way.
Why not? Split Lana Crush Warrior.
That's the name of the show.
Oh, we have JTG on tonight, folks.
He should be calling in a
really
few
soon, actually. We've talked about nothing.
But yes, we have. What do you think? We talked about Mexico. Well,
seriously, you think she's not out there looking for D?
I don't know if she's actively looking. I'm sure she's had a lot of people throw it at her since then.
Look, the well's got to be drying up.
Yeah.
She's got to get some. Do you think she has a Warrior vibrator?
No, because that would be uncomfortable.
It just shakes.
Oh, maybe it's a double. Like she puts one point in each end.
Nah, I don't. She doesn't look like an anal lady. She doesn't look like a Lana.
Jesus.
I'm going to go home and be like, hey, babe, you want to have Lana tonight?
What's on the menu? I don't know. Some Kenny G and some Lana.
Kenny G?
That's romantic.
No wonder why Kevin can't seal the deal with Texas.
She's crushing.
Paso.
Yo, don't sleep on the border jumper.
I'm coming in next week with a black armband that says Kevin's dude, penis on
it.
You
know how many people got my back on that, though, by the way? Blowing up on the social media.
You got a little...
I got back, man. Don't mess with me.
I'm just saying. I didn't see it. There's no Vern Gagne armband this week.
Because he's a murderer.
Murderer!
You agree with
me.
Well,
some would say the Warrior killed a few people's careers.
I'm just talking.
Aboo.
Don't speak ill of the dead.
I didn't. I spoke of his charisma.
But it's a touching, it's like very powerful documentary.
Tequila? Yeah.
No. The Warrior documentary,
that's what we should have opened with tonight. A little Pee Wee Herman action.
We can close with that.
And they go to, like, they go to Hogan and like... How they Hogan thought he was, like, ambushed when...
Why are you so far from your mic? Put that shit in your mouth, dude.
You want me to eat it?
Yes.
Eat it.
For some reason, you're not coming
in.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I do better when I have the mic on the stand. I don't want to yell.
But you're not yelling.
Because sometimes I get, like, super, like,
hello?
Loud. Very animated.
I thought you guys were bringing Taco Bell tonight.
No, I can't, man. I had those garlic knots from Papa John's last night.
Nice.
Ugh. They were delicious. I was shitting up a storm all day today. My
making fresh taco meat?
Fucking garlic knots and Red Bull is like the worst. I should be dead. Ugh, I'm an awful human being.
Where the fuck were you yesterday? You were eating garlic knots, washing them down with Red Bull.
Well, yeah, no. For a guy who like is all about like the pizza... Slumming it at Papa John's?
This is the guy who's supposed to be trying to get in shape for his impending wedding.
5 months yesterday.
And he's eating garlic knots and washing them down with energy drinks.
The wife came home last night. She wasn't feeling good. She didn't want to make dinner.
Matt's like, hi, honey, you want to have Lana? And she goes,
knots?
No, I'm not feeling well.
And I was like, let's just order Papa John's. The Yankees scored 6 runs yesterday, so we get half off. That's the Jew in me.
There it is.
So we ordered a pizza, some garlic knots.
You work at a pizzeria. Why don't you just bring one home?
Some knots and Lana. That's what it is.
Because it was like 9:30, and I didn't want to do anything. I was watching baseball. Fucking sitting on the couch.
Do you have product at home? Like, do you bring home like some leftover doughs and stuff?
No, the dough that I use wouldn't work in a regular oven.
So put it in a microwave.
You're an idiot.
I don't know. Start a bonfire in your yard, dude.
You know what? I started a fire today.
Was it listening to the Bret Hart song? You start the fire in me?
No. Rhiannon had like this big. a big bag of paper. She like bills and like information about her, and she was like, "I want to burn this next time we start a fire." So when I ran home to get changed, I'm like, "I'm just gonna put this on the grill and light it on fire." And I put it on the grill, and I lit it on fire, and I closed it, and I knocked on my neighbor's door, and I said, "Billy, the grill's on. Just make sure it doesn't burn down the apartment. I'll see you later."
Like what papers?
She had like old mail, and like credit card applications and stuff.
It was her green card.
I didn't want to go there.
There.
Is she from El Paso?
Ooh.
No, she's not.
All right.
That'd be a hell of a long border jump in her situation.
El Paso is sending us something. She asked for a mailing address, so I'm a little
concerned. You gave her the studio address.
El Paso?
No, I actually gave her mine.
Who's El Paso?
Uh-oh.
Well, I don't know where she is in Texas. So,
are we talking about Lucha Underground?
No.
I'm sure Studio A and Studio B, there's no price difference on the shipping. It's all coming to the state of New Jersey. Could have it sent here.
I'm so lost.
Somebody from Texas is sending us a care package.
Ah, what's in it?
I don't know.
Hopefully,
Matt will find out.
Titty pictures.
A boo.
Titties.
What? No, she said it was some type of alcohol, maybe.
Now, far be it from me to suggest any of the ladies that listen to the Shining Wizards Wrestling podcast send us any sort of provocative pictures.
Yeah, I would actually second that.
Or use tools, like, you know, maybe if you use some stuff to get Lana on.
Like a shovel?
Like a warrior vibrator?
Yeah, or, you know, like
there's got to be a market for that. The warrior vibrator?
I would think it'd be uncomfortable, though.
That's what a vibrator does. It shakes, you dope.
So I'm not talking about the shape. I'm not talking about shaking. I'm talking about the shape.
You don't need to make it a shape. You just paint it like the Ultimate Warrior, right? Warrior on the side and
just
boom.
Some tassels on the end.
You know what?
Yes!
Here we go.
Like as a handle.
Here we go. I'll talk to Louis Ramos next time. I'm sure he's got a collection from his hardcore outgoings. I'll have him send one to us, and we'll have like Arts and Crafts Day. We'll
you
decorate
saw
them.
Louis and Balls Mahoney at Great Adventure?
Yes, within like an hour of each other.
Why? What show was there?
No, there was none. Louis was there with his family.
Wrestlers do normal stuff.
Yeah, not Balls Mahoney.
Dude, the best part was... No, dude, Balls was there. Balls has a kid?
Yeah,
okay,
he does.
So Balls was there with his kid, and I think his brother.
Kevin's like, matter-of-factly, he does.
Dude, I see that kid way too much for my liking.
No, so I saw him walking by. I go, oh, my God. I'm like, dude, there goes Balls Mahoney. And he was about four steps past me already, and he just turned around. He gave me, the thumbs up with the horns out and whatnot. So, that was cool. And his brother just stopped and started talking to me. He's like, yeah, that's Balls Mahoney, all right. And I had no idea it was his brother.
Did he look like the Sandman's brother?
Still one of the greatest moments in history.
Holy God, yeah. Shit. We got JTG calling in a little while. Talk
yeah,
about
we're
his
going
new,
right to him. We're not taking a break.
Talk about
anything.
His new ebook why not? Coming out.
Because we're live, dude.
Why the hell I gotta did take I write leak, this? So. Right? What's it called?
Ew. Damn, why did I write this book?
There you go. Thank you. Sorry. There's so many emails. It was, I wasn't supposed to be here tonight, so this is like an added bonus.
Fucking Don.
For who?
Over here.
For the
not for us.
Fans? The people listening? Kevin Someone and out I, there likes me, I think.
Kevin and I had an itinerary written down.
Not
we
on
meticulously
the dry
went
race
through
board.
It. And Matt's like, bad news. I'm coming to do the show. Kevin said, well, fuck the itinerary.
Yeah.
You could have still done the
I
itinerary.
Threw that on my grill and lit it on fire.
And he knocked on the window. Dad, watch the grill.
Yeah. Dad. I'm going to drink tequila.
It's margaritas. Get it right.
Listen, we have to keep the kayfabe shroud. We live in our parents' basements, remember? Okay, we are recording again.
Are we live?
Yeah, no, we've been live the whole time.
Technology freaks me the fuck out, man.
That's all right. Eddie still hates on everything.
Eddie is not a big fan of the JTG, apparently.
No, of course not.
I don't know. Whatever. I think it'll be cool. Who knows? Maybe he drops a bomb on us.
This tequila is so good. Oh, margarita mix, baby. I don't know what we were talking about. Oh, this is glorious. This replay is going to be hilarious.
Hilarious.
JTG's calling in about 5 minutes.
There's a little bit of... maybe a ruffling of the feathers with the WWE product and its fans. They banned the curb stomp.
Yeah, whatever.
And then apparently they took it out of the Roman Reigns Road to
WrestleMania. I don't understand
story.
That. What's the point?
I don't know.
And what happened? Good job, Kevin. Kevin hasn't even had any of the margarita mix yet, and he's like dying.
I don't think anything happened. I just think it's a something where they. It looks dangerous. I don't know. I can't watch the WWE product. There's nothing about it that interests me. Nothing.
Really?
What is Seth Rollins' finisher now?
It's a weird DDT.
Is it better or worse than that jumping stunner that Austin,
Listen,
I'm sorry,
Cena
there's
nothing
does.
Worse than that jumping stunner.
So that's awful. Rollins uses a DDT as a finisher.
Ambrose.
So does Ambrose.
Yeah. I made a
and
joke
Jake
about
Roberts.
That on and Jake Roberts.
Steve Austin made
and
a great
Tommy
point.
Dreamer.
Who
and Mick Foley.
Who was Ziggler working when he took that DDT when he planted himself straight down on his head? Or was it Neville that did that?
Neville, I'm sure they
somebody
both probably
took a,
did it.
Somebody took a DDT.
And literally just stood up vertical
yes.
for...
And Austin was pissed off that did not end the match. He's like, how are you dropping people on their heads all the time and they're getting up immediately?
Well, this is to the point that Eddie always makes about like products like Ring of Honor that he just doesn't like. About you do like a fucking powerbomb to the outside or a tombstone off the top rope or this and that and it just doesn't end the match. Like, how are you getting up from that? So there is a point to be made about that.
Yeah, but every single promotion does it.
I'm aware. Yeah, but I was just using ROH.
No, I know, but it's like maybe it's not done to the extent as the way it's done at Ring of Honor or New Japan or it's, you know, some random indie fed in Ohio. But it still gets done.
No,
sometimes
I
it can be a bit, redundant. I get it. I understand.
Some are more egregious than others at doing it.
I'm not saying...
like, you sell a move like that, like, whoever it was, whether it was Neville or Ziggler, they may have both done it. You sell a move like that, Austin's 100% right, man.
No, I don't disagree.
Way too many people have DDTs in their arsenal. I think the DDT needs to go away for a while.
Yeah, well, I think that's all ECW's fault.
Yeah, everybody and their grandmother dropped DDTs. Even Bill Alfonso was dropping DDTs, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, even, like, was it, like, Beulah... doing yeah. it too and
it, you know what the DDT is like a role reversal move. It's like when the bad guy wants to get the heat back on, he drops a DDT. That's what people were using it for. And the worst part was you had two guys on the roster at that point using it as a finish. Tommy Dreamer and Raven. And half the time it didn't even finish.
Right.
I don't know.
No, no,
I think
trying,
the DDT needs to go
like,
away.
If it like, it was so weird. Like, it's, I forget which exactly. Obviously, Ambrose does the double arm, the hook DDT, I think.
Yeah, like Foley used to do.
Yeah.
Doesn't Paige do the page turn, or isn't that a DDT as well?
I don't know.
Doesn't she submission like or perfect plexer and then like swinging neck breaker gimmick?
No, somebody else. Oh, who used to do like the DDT when they would kick? Like they would kind of jump back and then kick their leg forward.
Edge
and then
used
do the
to
DDT.
Do a jumping DDT.
Not a jumping. Not a jumping, but like hold them.
And
like,
then she'd swing her leg back.
And then swing the leg all the way back, like pendulum style. And then when she went to kick forward, she would jump into the DDT.
Oh, I don't know.
Is it a woman?
Yeah.
Oh, that's why no one knows.
Boo!
But, so, I mean, I thought Raw was pretty damn good, obviously. And obviously, to some of us, the product is just so blatantly, like, just there.
The one thing I did like that I did actually watch was the opening with New Day. I kind of like the heelish turn now with the gimmick.
It's about time.
And the three of them are money together. Pardon the pun for our upcoming guest.
Big E just looks like a giant toddler. He just looks like he's always got this face on, like he's like seeing like a fucking bedtime pendulum thing in his fucking with the big starry eyes and shit. But I do agree though that last night kind of turned me a little bit on New Day.
Yeah,
because
good things for them.
Well, it's gonna be X-Pac heat, but at least it's heat,
right?
No, I don't think it's gonna be X-Pac heat. I think it's gonna be some good stuff. This may be the one and only JTG, Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
What's up? This is JTG,
Mr. JTG. Welcome to the show, my friend. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for joining us. When we see blowing up all over the internet that JTG's putting out a book that's dropping tomorrow, I said, we need to speak to this man.
So when I'm dropping a book, I definitely had to speak to Shining Wizards.
We appreciate the love, man. So how you been, all right? Everything's been going well, I take it.
Everything's doing great, enjoying life, enjoying the family. Everything's great.
Awesome, man. And, of course, the book we are referring to is JTG, Damn, Why Did I Write This Book? A compilation of short stories all focused around the four-letter word. Ended more wrestling careers than, wow, steroids, pills, alcohol combined. It's heat. And JTG, whenever wrestlers come out with books, timing is always something that is considered. What was the inspiration, and why now are you putting together this tale of stories to release to everyone?
Well, throughout my career with the WWE and being on the road, you know, wrestlers' pastimes, you know, are telling stories. And, you know, after so many years, I've been telling stories about my run-ins, me and Shaz running with heat. I get the same reaction every single time. Damn, you need to put that on paper, man. You need to share this with the world. I'm like, nah, cut it out. He's like, no, seriously, you have enough chapters to write a book. And I'm like, man, cut it out. And then after my career with the WWE, you know, one day I just said, F it. You know, I'm gonna get all these stories together. And I didn't put every single story in there. You know, if this book is successful, there might be a part two. But I didn't want to cram all the stories down the reader's throat.
Right. And so this was something that was done after the fact. This wasn't done chronologically while you were in WWE. This was an idea that you had post WWE.
Yeah, it was an idea post WWE after so many wrestlers, friends, and family told me that I needed to write a book. Especially with being a partner with Shad, I need to get this on paper. And you know, a lot of the stories in this book, you know, I shared it with some friends and family, and they literally told me, they're like, "Man, I can't. I lost kind of how many times I laughed out loud by when I was reading this book." And I was, you know, I was definitely felt good about that. Like, okay, now I'm on to something.
So now, without getting into too many specifics, we obviously want people to order the book. Damn, why did I write this book? Do you get into specific, are there names dropped? Is it heat between you and the boys? Is it heat between you and management? Give us a little insight without, you know, spoiling the book for everybody. What basically is the book? Is it heat with the boys or management?
it's heat with all around. It's heat with the boys, some individual. I'm not heat with the boys, with everybody in the locker room, with certain individuals in the locker room, certain situations that I just couldn't avoid. You know, being a WWE superstar, you're going to get heat. Like if you're an aspiring wrestler, and you're like, I'm not gonna get heat. You're kidding yourself. It's like you're going to get heat no matter what. It's like you're going to get hurt in professional wrestling. You can't avoid not getting hurt, and you can't avoid not getting heat. So this is just a good book for aspiring wrestlers. You know, this is what you're about to get into. And definitely for wrestling fans, this is a great book for wrestling fans to give you a good glimpse of the subculture of the wrestling business.
Right. And, I mean, obviously anyone that followed JTG's career in WWE, especially with the tag team, one of the most underrated, most entertaining tag teams, I think, in recent memory, known as Crime Time, obviously you and Shad. Talk about the relationship between you and Shad. I mean, obviously you guys are, I think, delving into more acting related stuff, but you still make appearances on the independent circuit. Talk about the relationship with Shad and how that molded your WWE career and your life.
Well, Shad, for the past decade, you know, growing up as a child in Brooklyn, New York, I didn't have any brothers. You know, I had all my siblings or sisters. So for the past decade, Shad's been a big brother to me. You know, and you know, when I moved to Louisville, Kentucky, he opened my eyes to a lot of things, and he showed me how to work out. He got me my first apartment. We have there's so many things that he introduced to me, and you know, I could never replace that. Shad's been a great big brother. You know, throughout our relationship, you know, there's been ups and downs, but there's been more ups than there have been downs, and he's just been a great big brother. He's still my friend today. We still hang out, we still tear the club up, we still travel the road, we still have fun, we still go to shows, you know. That's the homie for life. So that's pretty much our relationship. We still do shows now and then, but we're focused more on our branding ourselves outside of wrestling.
Now, I want to go back, JTG, to the damn why did I write this book. Are you worried about the repercussions of the backlash of what you have to say in the book?
There's definitely going to be some backlash, but I have no desire to go back to the WWE, so I really don't care. I mean, am I burning a bridge? Possibly, you know, but this is my experience, my personal experience with my career on the road, and they were very entertaining, and I wanted to share it with the world.
Very good. I mean, I'm sure, as Kevin noted before, there's tons of great stories in there. Is there anything that you kind of held back? I know you mentioned if it did well, you would put out a second book, but is there maybe a story you didn't put in there, possibly spoiler you might want to share with us?
Well, I gave one of my he's a former WWE superstar. I don't want to drop his name, but he read the book and he absolutely loved it. When I told him what the price that I was selling it for, he's like, you can't sell it for this cheap. You need to make this at least $8. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to do that. He's like, Jay, this is a good book. And he told me that in one of the chapters, that was one of his one criticisms, is that I needed to give a little bit more detail. And I said, brother, if the book is successful, I'll get into more detail in the second book. And that was when I was in the hot seat, when I put those tweets out. And back in, what year was that? What year was it when I got demolished by Ryback on Raw the next day for sending out those tweets on Twitter? when I had that rant on Twitter.
I don't remember the year, but I do recall that with the Ryback.
Yeah, I think that was 2011, I believe.
I think so.
No, 2011. 2012, probably.
I was thinking 2012. It might be 11. It was around that time.
Yeah, 2012. Yeah, you know, after those tweets, you know, there was definitely going to be some consequences and repercussions. You know, throughout my career, sometimes I just say F it. You know, I worry about the consequences and the backlash later. And sometimes it works out for me, and sometimes it doesn't.
Right.
I talked about the situation that when I went to Connecticut and I had to deal with the office and the cerebral. How you pronounce cerebral? I'm having it in my mouth.
Cerebral.
Can you say it?
Cerebral.
Oh, there you go. Cerebral assassin. Had to deal with that guy.
Oh, man. And JTG, you said that you have no desire to return to the WWE, so you're not 100% concerned about any sort of backlash for the book. Why do you think that is? You hear more and more guys that are under contract. They let loose on Twitter. A perfect example that comes to mind is Dolph Ziggler. A lot of talk that he might be on his way out. Why do you think that people aren't, or superstars, to say, aren't as concerned about ever returning to WWE? Is there that good a life that can be made outside of WWE?
Say one more time that last question. Is there a what life?
Is there like, I mean, a lot of people, it's their dream. But then once they get there, it seems like certain superstars, unless you're, you know, Cena or whatever, they don't care anymore. Like, it seems like Ziggler is not worried about anything he puts on Twitter. Why do so many superstars nowadays aren't concerned with any sort, like, being under contract with WWE?
Because of the system that they have there, the system needs to change. You know, the system of heat, hierarchy, the politics, the backstage is just stress, and that stress takes a toll on your body. You know, we already travel on the road. We're home only two or three days out of the week. You know, we're missing our families. You know, we got to work out. We got to maintain our health. Traveling, you know, takes a toll on you, and then you got to worry about your character, your branding. Coming up with promos, and then you got to deal with the politics backstage. It's like, come on, they need to create a better environment for their talent.
And
in the back of my head, this is just my opinion. I don't think they really give a shit about the mid card or the lower card talent.
Okay,
that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and you mentioned like branding yourself, and for the longest time, I mean, this was you were JTG, you were Crime Time. Very awesome character that was entertaining, and then all of a sudden, towards the latter part of your career, whose idea was it to put you in just regular wrestling gear and trunks and coming out to that? Why was that change made? Did they think that the JTG character has just ran its course?
That change was made after I threw so many ideas and just trying to find out what sticks, because, you know, at that time I still had passion, I still had love for the business, I still was trying do something new and see what would stick, what they would go with, you know? And, you know, obviously that didn't work. You know, I did everything. I did everything by changing my hair, changing my gear, my style of wrestling, the way I cut my promos. I went from babyface to heel. I shot multiple ideas, even ideas that Vince even liked. And I just didn't get the ball that I wanted to run with.
Did you guys like the Crime Time gimmick? Like, how did that develop? Was it something that you guys were on board with? Is it something that you pushed back on a little bit? Tell us about the creation of the characters.
The creation of the character, like, I'm going to go further. I'm going to go a little bit further. When I was in OVW, I was wrestling in tights, and I was just pretty much a bland character. I mean, I had personality and charisma, but it needed something more. And in my amateur class, I was pretty much the top of my class. You know, I was there every day. I got there early. I stayed late, and I was pretty much my trainer's golden boy. And then Abraham Washington, I don't know if you remember him, Abraham Washington.
Yeah.
He gave me a call one day, and he said, "Man, I got this idea for a tag team, man. You know, I think it would be great if you're trying to get a contract. You know, we need to have these characters that, you know, that stand out on TV. We're trying to get on OVW TV and then make it to WWE." I was like, "Let me hear what you got." He's like, "Man, we need to get these bulletproof vests. We need to get some hats, get some chains, some gold teeth. You know, let our pants sag a little bit, rock some Timbs, you know, and just act a fool with it." I'm like, "Man, I'm not trying to do that. That sounds stereotypical." But I that sounds like a stereotype. But I'm like, you know what? I'll do it, because I'm not doing anything right now on OVW, you know. And then we did the character, we did it at an amateur show, and we blew the roof off. You know, we had a great match. The fans loved the character. They loved our entrance, and they loved everything about us. And then fast forward, Brian, Abraham Washington, whose name was Dirty at the time, mine was Neighborhoody. You know, due to some personal issues, you know, he wasn't at OVW anymore. So I was kind of left solo in the gimmick. Worked great as a tag team. So after he was gone for a while, I was kind of left hanging. Chad just finished working a storyline with CM Punk for the title. And for my knowledge, Paul Heyman put me and Chad together, because it was like, "What are we going to do with Chad now? You know, let's put him and Neighborhoody together." And then everything happened so fast after that. Like, I would sit on the sidelines for months. You know, I would think about quitting because no doors were opening for me. And then as soon as they put Paul Heyman, put Shad and I together, the next week, me and him won Southern Tag Team titles at OVW. And then a few weeks after that, we did some vignettes. And the next, you know, I had a contract when I was 21. You know, I was working at a daycare. I was broke. I was working at a daycare just so I could get a Gold's Gym membership because the daycare was at the gym, at the nursery. And I remember getting the call, and it was mind-blowing. You know, I was like, I was ready to leave right then and there. Like, I don't need to take care of these damn kids. I'm about to leave the kids there with nobody, with no parental supervision. But, yeah, and that was the start of Crime Time. And we came up with the characters, Shad and I. You know, I got the look from Brian. You know, he narrowed it down to the bulletproof vest and the Tims. But the characters, Shad and I came up with that. You know, we came up with the vignettes. You know, Al Snow told us to come up with some cool vignettes, you know, something that shows off your personality. You don't have to do a match every week to get over. So we were like, all right. He gave us some creative liberty. And we went out on our own and shot our own footage. And we did the vignettes, and Vince loved it. And he hired it just off the vignettes. And then we, WWE came in, shot out WWE vignettes. All they did was we did the same exact video, but with WWE production.
Nice. And JTG, not too long ago, we had probably one of the all-time great tag team wrestlers and one of my personal favorites. We had Stevie Ray on, from Harlem Heat. You probably know him pretty well.
definitely know Stevie Ray.
Absolutely. And he brought up a good point about, and this is more of a social issue. You said that you had no issue doing the Crime Time character. It was a personality thing. He had a little issue with it. He actually mentioned the team of Crime Time, and he was wondering why African-American wrestlers always had to portray, obviously you guys were criminal, and he didn't take exception per se, but he wasn't this biggest super fan of it, if I remember correctly. And you had no doubt in your mind that you had, because it's entertainment to you, you had no problem doing that character?
No, I had no problem. At first, I did have a problem doing it, and then you're a professional wrestler. I love performing in front of a mass audience. You know, you fall in love with wrestling. You're in OVW for so many years, you know, and you're like, I'll do anything to get called up. So when you get an opportunity to do what you like, that Crime Time JT, that was me, you know. But when you go to the WWE, you gotta make that character bigger than life. So everything is exaggerated. You know, I don't wear grills in real life, but, you know, to make the thug image that's going to make people, you know, if they're going through their channel, what's going to make them stop and say, hey, man, these guys are interesting. Let me see what they're all about. Even if you want people who are not wrestling fans to watch wrestling.
You know,
if you just see guys in the ring with trunks on, it's like, you know, we're eye-catching.
Yeah, I mean, they did the same thing with Cena. When Cena made his debut, he was wearing tights and boots and whatnot, and it took a couple of months and
boring.
A little bit of tweaking. And
boring. That's boring. Exactly. He was Thugonomics. The doctor of Thugonomics.
Yeah, all because he dressed like Vanilla Ice at a Halloween party on screen.
Mm-hmm.
There was something now that I can't think about it. Now that I'm thinking of John Cena.
The limo?
No, the vignettes. We can get to the limo. The vignettes. How much control did you guys have over what you were doing? I know a lot, you know, nowadays it's like, oh, everything is so scripted. You know, people can't just be themselves, that they have to, you know, follow what writers are telling them word for word. How was it with you guys when you guys were doing your vignettes with, like, selling merch and whatnot? Did you have a lot of freedom, or were you guys scripted as well?
Our first and second year, we had a lot of creative liberty. That's why we got over, because we was being ourselves and having fun. And then when they started stepping in with more of the following the script and giving us more rules and started regulating us, you know, it started to become not as fun anymore. But we did have a lot of creative liberty when we first started. And a lot of those ideas were pretty much us, so the catchphrases, the... I remember getting permission from Vince McMahon. You know, I pulled him to the side, pretty cool and very approachable. And like, hey, Vince, you know, in rap videos, you know, rappers, they get all up in the camera. You know, they show their grill, they throw their chains in the camera. Because talent, I was specifically told not to look at the camera. So I had to ask permission for that. And he gave me creative liberty to do that.
Well, that's cool. I know you guys have had a lot of vignettes, a lot of great stuff, probably some of the most memorable stuff from that time in wrestling. What was your favorite vignette? Was it JBL's limo? Was it staring at the money when Vince McMahon was giving the money away? Was it your work with DX? I mean, what to you, like, what was your big moment? Like, what was the one that you were like, wow, that just happened?
Oh man, you brought up a lot that I forgot about. I forgot about the DX one. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. We did a few takes of that one because they bust out laughing during. I remember.
Yeah, you could see
it over again.
You could see it in the final take.
Working with them.
Yeah, it looked like you guys were having fun. Is that the one that stands out to you? Can you think of a favorite? I hate to put you on the spot. I just want to know.
I really enjoyed the one that we did at the Staples Center on our debut, with the one with Booker T and Charmel when we stole Booker T's wallet and we bounced. I really enjoyed that one. So that was done live. I was like, being called up on the road that quick. Like, usually talent, when they get a contract, they're in developmental for a while. They get to, you know, perfect their craft. I was called up pretty quick. I got my contract that summer, and I was on the Raw roster on TV, making my TV debut that fall, and they put us on the spot, and I impressed myself that I was able to pull that off and not mess up, and I wasn't nervous. I was confident. We just blew the roof off of that promo with Booker T,
and
Charmel and Michael Cole.
Coachman, I'm sorry. You mentioned so many like moments that even like you forget about. Like, I'm like remembering so much because Crime Time was so good. Even like the small little things, like when you have a Royal Rumble and you flip the coin and it's a double sided coin. Like, you guys would swindle each other. Like, yeah, that was so amusing about that team.
Forgot about that too. Yeah, that was a lot of fun also. Anywhere we got to display our personality and character, that got us over, and we had fun.
I got to ask you, when you guys went to England and you started singing about Euros, Euros, was that on purpose?
I got a story about that. That's funny you ask.
Nice.
Chad, the writer, came up to us. We knew where we were. We knew what kind of currency they used. The writer said, Euros, Euros. Yeah, and Shaq corrected him. He said, no, that I forgot where we were. He was like, that's not the money they use. He's like, just, it's on the paper. That's when it was being ridiculous. Like, it's on the paper. Just say what's on the paper. Why you got to give us a hard time, Shad? And he was like, you know what? All right. Shad didn't want to ruffle any feathers. He just went along with it and said it. And then next thing you know, we're hearing about it on the internet. Oh, Shad said, they said, Euros, Euros. And the audience started booing us. And I was like, man, I knew this was going to happen. I don't know if it was a setup. I don't know if it was a rib or a prank on us, but we kind of knew it, but Chad went ahead and went along with it.
Speaking of ribs, are the stories in the book, are they all heat? Are they all negative stories, or do we have some funny stuff in there?
Oh, well, all the stories are funny, even if it is heat or not, you know, but majority of the stories are all focused around heat, and you got to take full responsibility in some of the stories. Some of the stories, you know, where I encountered heat all on my own, you know, and he's like, Gary, you learn from my mistakes. You know, all these stories are relatable. Everybody has who has a job, they have a boss, they have coworkers, but being in the WWE, you know, it's on a bigger scale. You know, everybody's more bloodthirsty, and the competition is it's fierce.
How big do we go?
Everybody will get a good laugh out of this. I guarantee all the readers will at least get three or four good laugh out louds reading this book.
And while we're on the topic of the book, drops tomorrow, a lot of people asking us on Twitter, where can they find your book?
It's an e-book, so I'm going to put the link out on my Twitter, on my Instagram, my Facebook. You guys will put it out, hopefully. You put the link out. So I just want to tell the fans that the first week, I'm giving you guys a great deal. The first week is going to be 99 cents on PayHip. That's the first week. And after that, you can find it on Amazon worldwide for $2.99.
There you go. You can't beat those prices for a tell-all, laugh-your-ass-off book, which is what it's shaping up to be from this interview.
Yeah, and if you're listening to the show right now and you're following us on the social media and you don't pick it up for 99 cents, shame on you.
Absolutely.
Because I cannot wait to start reading this thing tomorrow morning on my way to work, honestly.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I enjoyed writing it, and I know that the fans, wrestling fans, even if you're not a JTG fan, if you're not a Crime Time fan, if you're a wrestling fan, you're going to enjoy this.
Aside from the book, do you have any upcoming appearances you want to let the people know about? Are you coming back to the East Coast to do any more indies anytime soon?
I do have some shows coming up, but I don't remember them off the top of my head. You know, I haven't written down somewhere. I'm sorry about that. I do have a movie coming out. I got a role in a movie called Bad Night. That's coming out in July that I'm looking forward to.
Nice.
That's awesome.
JTG,
that's awesome.
Keeping busy. Let me ask you this though before we let you go. Something that always kind of amused me, but also a little creepily amused me, is when Booker T called you, whenever he would call your matches, he would call you JT Jizzle.
Yes, he did. He asked my permission for that too. I remember one time I was working, was it Zack Ryder? He's like, okay, JT Jizzle in the house. I'm gonna call you JT Jizzle on the on commentary. Is that cool? And I was like, yeah, man, call me whatever the hell you want. Yeah, Booker T.
Did Booker T not realize how weird that sounded? Jesus.
JT Jizzle. Yeah. I like it. I think it's cool.
Kevin is fully aroused right now.
it was always on my mind. JT Jizzle. It was just always weird.
I'm sorry, JTG. We're just having a little fun tonight. It is Cinco de Mayo, so we've been partaking in the Mexican drinks.
Racist.
Oh, wow. Little shots of tequila.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Everything's flowing.
We're sitting around in lucha masks drinking margaritas. Like a bunch of goofs.
Do we have Mr. JTG's social media information?
I do. For you guys out there, you want to get this book. You're very interested in it. If you don't get it the first day it drops, you have to pay $2 more. But I mean, 99 cents or $3, you can't beat it. Follow JTG on Twitter at JTG1284. Check him out. He also has a pro wrestling tee shop, prowrestlingtees.com/crimetime. It's spelled Crime Time. It's not spelled the way WWE spells it. So support JTG and everything he's doing out there. We're really looking forward to Damn, Why Did I Write This Book, JTG. It has been a pleasure. Anything you want to leave us with, the fans with?
Also, Instagram. You know, catch me on the Instagram with my memes. After this book, there's going to be a lot of memes, and I'm going to be reposting them. So catch me on Instagram at JTG121084.
Awesome.
Very nice.
JTG, it's been a pleasure.
Fans, I love you guys. I can't wait for you guys to hear the feedback. I'm confident in this book, and I know you guys are going to have a good time reading it in Latin. It will be definitely a lot of LOLs.
Thank you, sir. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Be well, JTG.
We'll talk to you soon. We'll have you back on after the book drops, and we can talk about it.
Definitely. Cheer.
See ya.
Nice.
That was JTG, guys. Please go out there, check out the book. I'm actually very interested.
I am, too.
You're still aroused.
Did I creep him out with that last question? Did he not get it? Did that go over his head?
No, he got it.
You guys are getting so silly. You creeped him out. He's like, you guys are going to put out the information. This dummy's going, maybe.
Was that on the microphone?
Yes, it was. I heard it in all of my ears over here.
I thought that he would get it.
We were just having
fun.
How
did no one pick up on, Jizzle? That's disgusting.
Yeah, but you're talking about the same guy who made the Owen Hart reference 2 weeks ago. You can't understand a fucking word he says anyway.
Oh,
Booker T.
I hate him on the commentary, but I thought that went over his head. I thought that was a nice little fun way to close it, but I thought wrong.
That was a lot of fun. You know what? It would have been cool to talk to him before and after, but sometimes when you're going live, it's just cool to have somebody just call in and shoot the shit.
No, it was Damn, Why Did I Write This Book? I'm getting it. That's gonna be the first thing I do tomorrow, actually. So.
I didn't know you could read.
Me?
You're
questioning my ability to read?
I read like a motherfucker. I can't speak for shit, but
yes,
I read.
How
a
great
lot.
Was it that he couldn't say cerebral?
It made me feel good. What did I butcher?
Everything.
Yeah, you butchered a question that you were asking him. Kevin and I just looked at each other.
I did it last week, too, with Son of Havoc. I'm such a
of course
fucking
you did.
Idiot.
Yes,
worst.
You are. Yes, you are.
I don't even understand
are.
Why you guys let me do this podcast.
Because it's funny, dude. It's entertaining to us, and that's
Holy
all that matters.
Shit.
The whole point of the show is that we get together and just fuck around and be ourselves. And what better way to be yourself than making fun of your friends while they're talking?
I feel like if I didn't suck down margaritas like they were going out of style and I had lunch before I came here, I'd be in a better shape.
What? You work at how do you not eat?
Because it's the same shit every single day.
There's nothing else around you where you could grab something?
I work on the campus of large pharmaceutical company.
Notavirus?
Yeah, but don't they also have like sandwiches and shit there?
Sandwiches?
It's not just, it's pizza, sandwich, and salad, but it's not like the menu changes every day. It's the same stuff every fucking day.
Wow,
and anyone that's ever worked in a restaurant, they agree with me. After a point, you can't eat. You don't want to eat. It's just the same boring shit.
Yeah, but you have to eat.
Yeah.
You have to eat to live.
Exactly.
I don't know.
I'm like sweating over here. Like,
how could you be sweating? It's cool.
I'm all fired up. I'm sucking margaritas down.
Yeah, I know.
Celebrating Cinco de Mayo.
I'm starting to feel a little sweaty myself.
Odale!
Well, this has been fun.
We're not even close to done. What are you
doing? I know we're not done.
Can we take a break so I can pee and wipe
my swamp ass? I was just
going to
ask you guys because I got to kind of take a piss myself. You know what? Let me just make sure before we go anywhere that Ustream is still working and we're not talking shit about anybody.
What?
What?
We would never do that.
Oh, wait. I should have kayfabed that?
Yeah, you're really bad at the kayfabe.
Listen,
dude.
Everything has a purpose. You think I don't know any better? Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Just sip that loud as hell into the
microphone.
Oh,
you know what we could tell when we get back from break?
What?
Can we please tell the Sting story that we haven't told yet?
I feel like Eddie needs to be here for that because he was part of that.
Well, if what Eddie's still listening and he's not ready to kill us, then maybe he could tell the story.
What Sting story?
Sting.
Did we have tell AIDS. That story already?
No, we didn't. We were going to a couple of weeks ago for the 200th, and we wound up never telling it because we actually started taking some phone calls. I'm just looking for the commercials, so I'm filibustering right now.
I mean, we can. What do we want
to
talk?
There's a lot of stuff to talk about, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to talk about. I mean, obviously, Jeff Hardy thing.
Yeah, we could talk about all that.
Michelle Beadle losing all support for WWE.
Ah, who gives
really?
A shit about
her? Oh, I didn't hear about this.
She's no longer going to support WWE for Triple H's relationship with Floyd Mayweather.
Oh,
about the fight.
We can
talk about Raw, obviously. Audience down over 200,000 viewers.
I'm going to piss my pants if you don't shut up.
Well, fucking get the commercial going. I'm waiting on you, you idiot.
You probably have 80 podcasts in your queue that you'll never catch up on, but I bet none of them cover the worlds of professional wrestling and heavy metal music.
That's where Neckbreaker fills the gap. We drink a truckload of beers, interview the best metal bands, and cover the latest pro wrestling headlines, all in one drunken mess of a podcast.
Find our episodes on iTunes, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher Radio, and Neckbreaker.net. Be sure to follow our drunk and irrelevant updates on Twitter and Facebook at NB Podcast.
Shalom, it's the unprofessional Jewosaurus, Jay Silver, right here to tell you about Two and a Half Wrestlers Podcast. It's myself, Kevin Matthews, Pat Buck, and our newest member, former WWE superstar Kurt Hawkins, now going as Brian Myers, because the man needed something else to do on Monday nights now that he was free. Two and a Half Wrestlers Podcast, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and of course, right here at Shining Wizards Network.
Hey, it's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, inviting all of you, when you're done with this podcast, head back on over to the Shining Wizards Network. That's right, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, where myself and Dave Mega Powers are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, covering everything from the current to the way back. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks on the Shining Wizards Network. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, entertainment here.
Hi, this is Justin.
And Tim.
And Vince.
And Timmy.
And we are your hosts of the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, bringing you the best in entertainment news and opinions. We cover the worlds of movies, TV, music, sports, video games, comic books, and of course, professional wrestling, as well as pop culture top 10 lists and fan castings. New episodes every Sunday. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
What's up? It's Mike from The Midnight Jury. The Midnight Jury is a podcast where you, the listener, are able to be transported back to the 80s and 90s every Friday to talk about everything pro wrestling, pop culture, and horror. From segments such as My Five Fun Facts in Under 2 Minutes and Adam's Finally Rediscovered, to past guests such as Jake the Snake Roberts, Buff Bagwell, and the horror icon, Chucky himself, Ed Gale, you will find yourself going back to the days before iPhones and social media to when it was is all about records, Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Find us on Facebook and Twitter and join myself and my co-host Adam every Friday on The Midnight Jury. Available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Audioboo for the Shining Wizards Network, and Fridays at 5, 4 Central to start your weekend on Geek Life Radio. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
What's up, everybody? This is Dave Destruction of Pro Wrestling Syndicate, and I'm here to talk to you about Thursday Night Destruction. Join me every Thursday night exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network, where we talk about the world of professional wrestling, professional sports, and I might give you a couple tips on how to live your life. Join me every Thursday night for Thursday Night Destruction exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network.
Hi, this is Tony, and I want to talk to you about JTG's new book. It's called What the Fuck Did I Just Write? Or something like that. Make sure you follow him at JTG1284 on the Twitter to get the link.
Yo, 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 yo. Pop a 40 and check your rollies. It's crime time.
Brooklyn, Brooklyn. We're bringing it, bringing it.
We're bringing the hood to you.
We're bringing it, bringing it.
What you gonna do?
We're bringing it, bringing it.
Bringing it, bringing it.
Yeah, 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 yo, 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 yo,
Hollywood. Nah, this is Hollywood, and it's crime time. I'm scared, you probably should. I'm from the streets, I was raised in the gutter. I run up on your motherfucking bread and butter. Mess around with these crooks, get your property
yeah,
took.
Yeah.
Robin is my
pretty
job.
Good song.
Yeah,
yeah. Come on, Kev, bust a little rhyme.
Better than R-Truth.
Nothing? Leave me hanging.
Nah. What?
Are we asking you to bust a rhyme?
I could have. Next week, I'll do it. Next week, I'll bust a rhyme.
I like a JTG.
You like a JTG? What are they on sale?
I like a JTG.
Wow.
Oof. That was not the way.
That was not intentional. I could tell that wasn't intentional at all, but it sounded so bad.
Hey, gravity found JTG. What, what?
Booker T.
I used to call him Booger T just because it flowed.
You're so creative.
I know.
Man.
Look at a McMahon. He's got snots hanging out of his nose.
Cinco de Mayo.
Stinko de Mayo. I've got beans in my bladders.
Ugh. Stinko de Mayo.
Ugh.
So, Kev, tell me about this Michelle Beadle gimmick thing.
Beadle, 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 Beadle. Oh, she is no longer a WWE supporter. Due to, Triple H's support of Floyd Mayweather. And she was upset that, you know, because of Floyd's past with his convictions for domestic abuse and all that stuff, Michelle Beadle.
Does he punch like a bitch every 60 days?
Probably.
He's a piece of shit.
He is. I mean, I agree. And she pulled all of her support. She made a big statement today.
Is she hot? What does she look like?
She was hot when she was on ESPN before, and she went to NBC Sports. I don't know what the fuck they did to her over there.
She's not the one that made fun of the tow truck driver for towing her car, is she?
She was the one that called when she was backstage, and she went up to CM Punk and said, "Hi, fuckface." And then
she was friends with him.
Yeah, and AJ Lee got all pissy about that because she thought that was disrespectful to CM Punk. But
she was boys with...
Michelle Beadle was like, "Hey, we're friends. Hi, you fuckface."
AJ
like,
Lee, of all people, getting jealous?
This was a long time ago.
Ugh. I think that's the way I'm just going to greet everybody from now on.
Hi, fuckface.
That's fucking great.
That's how we should have introduced JTG. Now joining us on the Shining Wizards Hotline, fuckface.
No. From now on, when we have guests, we'll just go, "Sup, fuckface."
License and registration, chicken fucker.
What?
That's from fucking the Super Troopers.
I understand.
That's great.
Boo.
Just go with it. Because that'll make it funny.
It was funny.
You questioning it just ruins the momentum of anything.
No, it makes it funnier.
Ah, man. So
you guys are good as a two-man crew, but when I'm in here, I feel like I just take the funny out of you guys.
I don't know what is happening. I don't know. But anyway,
let me ask you a question before you jump into
the... Are we still on the Beatle thing?
The Beatle machine.
Beatle.
But it'll stay WWE. Sami Zayn wrestled John Cena last night?
Yes.
Bret Hart intro'd him.
Oh, nice. Little hometown hometown welcoming.
Bret Hart's from... for Sami Zayn.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Look, Canada's one whole...
town.
It's just a town.
It's one big municipality.
Fucking break it up. Well, that's nice that he made his debut and he's you know, touted as an up and comer and he loses his debut match just like every other NXT superstar.
Oh, knock it off.
A lot of comparisons.
You expected him to beat John Cena?
No.
No, but I mean, a lot of comparisons to how Cena made his debut against Kurt Angle. So.
Fucking bunch of wah-wahs. Everybody loses to an established star in their debut. Fucking get over it.
Well, why would you?
There are no more Iron Mike Sharps or Jose Luis Rivera's, rest his soul, for these people to get over on.
Their names are Axel, whatever, Axelmania.
Yeah,
Damian Mizdow,
Fandango.
The Miz, Fandango.
No, whoa! Not
the Miz is a fucking jobber.
Miz is not a jobber.
He's a jobber.
He beat Damian Sandow to retain the rights to his gimmick. So Sandow's the jobber.
Did he beat his meat?
But Adam Rose.
Oh, Adam
Fandango,
Rose, good call. It's
nobody mentioned Heath Slater. Thankfully,
he still
has a job.
Yeah, he got jobbed out last week or something. Or
it's just like you put all this effort into the NXT product. And then you build these guys up, and it's like, oh, you're great. You were the champion.
We are the champion.
I mean, maybe with Sami Zayn, he gets that push because he was the champion.
Well, he's fighting for the NXT championship at the next TakeOver special.
Well, he's hurt now, so maybe
not. We'll say about that.
Stupid.
Exactly. I got it. They did it for the hometown pop, which is very rare because whenever WWE's in Long Island or Jersey or New York, Zack Ryder gets superstars duty. So... they gave him his hometown, big reaction, all this stuff. Maybe they thought that they were going to bring him up to the main roster, but I don't understand why if he's still fighting for your top title and your NXT program. So, it made sense for the night, but I don't think it was thought out long term. Like it got the reaction.
Whoa! You're going to say WWE? Didn't think long term,
but granted, again, this was a different story. The way they handled Neville is completely different. That's a fucking train wreck right there.
How's King Barrett doing?
Did he have a...
Was
there a coronation?
He knocked out Neville with the bullhammer in the tag match.
Yeah, it was him and Sheamus versus him and Ziggler, right?
Who came up with... what's the new nickname for Sheamus? Ultra Vince?
What?
People have been calling Sheamus Ultra Vince. See how much funnier it is when you do that?
No, I didn't see that. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, our fellow podcasters over at the Blind Tag actually used it in their episode, and I've seen memes all over the place.
So wait, people are calling him that?
Calling Sheamus Ultra Vince.
I don't get that.
Well, I mean, he's Irish. He's a big juice head. He's a wrestler that's getting a push where people seem to think he doesn't deserve it.
Is that like an Avengers reference? Ultron?
I guess.
I don't know. But... I don't know. This whole Sami Zayn thing, like I said, it was good for what it was. It was a good match. It was, I don't know.
He's Canadian Arabian.
Who?
Isn't Sami Zayn like Arabian?
I think he's of like something like that descent.
He's Canadian. Isn't that bad enough?
French
Canadian.
What?
Oh, he's French Canadian? He's not even real Canadian?
He's from the same place. I think Kevin Owens is French Canadian too.
He's like the Pat Patterson Canadian.
What?
Kevin Steen.
Steen.
Owens.
Steen.
Whatever, Kevin Steen.
Kevin Steen.
But
yeah, they're all from the Montreal, eh?
That's where that's where they started.
No,
I know
Montreal is wee-wee.
Montreal
is A.
Awful.
Yeah, you won't get arguments here.
They're red money. Suck my balls.
I love Canada.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
Why?
The lap dances are
paid like
$100
for a bucket of Budweiser at a strip club.
Well, that was your mistake for buying a bucket of Budweiser.
You should have talked to Craig Steele, man. He probably knows people up there.
This was a long time. This was when Craig Steele and Pub Bully was dead. Long time ago. Pub Bully's still dead.
That gimmick went away when we found out he was still alive and doing quite
well. Yeah, because it took the fun out of it. And you didn't want to keep referencing shitty ECPW.
Yeah, the shite.
What else you got in the news and notes, Big Kev?
Hey, the Fallen Angels are in the tag team title tournament, ECPW. That's all coming up soon.
So what else we have here?
Wow. Did you know Impact is going to be live this
Who
Friday
Who gives a shit?
Live?
Live.
We're not live.
Okay.
Live.
Wait, is Jeff Hardy going to break his leg on camera? Listen, this guy's had more chances than, I don't know, whoever's had a lot of chances in their life.
Matt Hardy?
Jeff.
I know, but he popped.
How is
so
it that.
So stupid.
You just.
You're so fucking stupid.
That's for me for being an idiot. That's the idiot bell. How do you win the tag belts and, like, they're putting something putting more stock in you, and then you go out and break your leg.
Because they don't care.
They don't. Oh, wait a minute. I should hit a button.
Yeah, but there. Way to have a soundboard without
over
utilizing
there,
it.
Feet in the air, margarita in the hand.
I fed him Lillian Garcia earlier. He couldn't do that.
Don't now. See, here's what happens. He gets button happy. Stop it. Stop. I need a stick to hit him.
We should have a toy stick is what we should have.
Yeah. You can get that and the Warrior Dildo, a twofer, $20, shiningwizards.com. Yeah.
I'm serious. Where can we get
slash
cheap
merch?
Where can we get cheap dildos? We should have arts and crafts one night. We'll make them, and then we'll auction
arts
them for charity.
We can barely get together to do a podcast. You want to get together and do fucking arts and crafts?
Yeah, we'll get some paints, some stickers. Some glitter glue.
Only if we can make armbands, too.
Put little armbands on the dildos that have Vern Gagne's initials.
What are they? What is it, a roll-up? Are you going to put a napkin around? A fucking thing around it?
What was that? He made a jerk-off motion instead of thing.
I'm going to make an executive decision here that I'm the only one allowed to drink during this show. Okay?
What?
Because you do.
You're still a fucking noob. Shut up.
Noob. Yeah, well, law of averages, though, says that I've been here the longest.
This show's getting progressively funnier.
We have
law of averages said you're like 0 for 6 at AWS.
He's an 0 for 8.
Chris Jericho is back on.
Wait, Kev, you didn't say it. What?
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 Stupid heads.
Jericho's back.
Jericho's a...
He's doing his little house show tour.
Is that to promote his... How is this shitty podcast with Stephanie?
It's awful.
I was going to watch it, but I didn't.
I heard about her fucking huge cleavage.
Which one? On the pay no mind, Stephanie, give no fucks list.
They both have it. They both have gap chest.
Who?
I like Stephanie's.
Well, Jericho and...
Yeah, well, Jericho's doing the DDP now, too. That's
I still
why.
He's been doing the DDP for a while.
Yeah, I know.
I still give it to Steph.
How long has it been since you DDP'd?
A while.
Yeah, mine's
about 30 seconds ago.
with a Warrior vibrator.
With the door wide open, by the way.
With doors wide open.
I didn't shut the door?
That gave a whole new meaning to live stream.
What? Why are you looking at my dick, you weirdo? See?
I don't know what that means, but you're on fire tonight, Kevin.
Did you want to see my jizzle? Fucking creep.
We are losing all credibility in a span of 16 minutes.
People listen to this for this.
Yes,
no one wants to hear us shit all over the WWE.
That's true.
We've been doing it for like 5 years. It's fucking old. Oh, they fucking banned the curb stomp. And then they took it out of the WrestleMania 31 retrospective for Roman Reigns.
That's bullshit.
BFD. It's what the WWF does. E, whatever you call yourselves.
Did they take it out of the actual broadcast of the replay?
If there's a
of
God...
The-
Right? He would get in his DeLorean and he would go back to WrestleMania 30 and he would put Triple H in the Warriors' place. And then Triple H would have a fucking heart attack in Arizona.
Oh, God. Jesus.
Don't knock on wood.
I am knocking on wood. I don't want people to die.
And then our conversation would be like, yo, would you bang Stephanie Warrior?
In a heartbeat. Stephanie's getting crushed.
That's right. I'd smash that shit.
Stephanie would be fucking
smash wrestling plug.
Smash-stephanie.com.
God.
We're out of control.
Yes, we are, and I love it.
It's like that Warrior promo against the Hogan at WrestleMania 6.
Yeah.
Come on, Kev. The yoke. Hulk Hogan.
I'm trying to pull up news.
That plane goes into a nosedive.
If you guys used the dry erase board, we wouldn't be in this situation.
Fuck
no,
that.
This is great.
Welcome Dave LaGreca to the studio.
Still on there.
No, it's not. Perro Aguayo Jr.'s death is still on there.
He's still dead?
Cinco de Mayo.
And the WrestleMania card is up there.
All right, guys. WrestleMania 31. We have Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. Cena, Rusev. God, I hate Rusev.
Why? What do you got against Rusev, by the way?
I just don't see anything.
He's got the weirdest looking legs, too.
I'm the only one. I'm probably in the minority. I just never have seen anything
like I listened
with
him. To the Blue Meanie episode, and you're like nitpicking that he came out in a jumpsuit?
Is that what I said?
Yeah. Yes. You wanted to see him
in a tank, because he came out in a tank, but he was wearing like a sweatshirt. If he came out in like military garb, like Corporal Kershner,
he wants to be comfortable.
Maybe he's comfy when he drives his tank.
Maybe he's.
Have you ever been inside
a
tank?
Not, yes, I have. Been
I can't even
a tank.
Say.
Do you think it's comfortable to
it's
be
amazing.
In a military suit?
It's like a hotel suite with a jacuzzi.
So wouldn't you want to be in sweatpants and your fuzzy cow slippers?
I want to wear a beret and fucking badges.
Do you want to take calls?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
201-467-8949. 201-467-8-WIZ.
Our pal Lanny Poffo has a shoot DVD coming out.
You better come correct or we will hang up on you.
I see Global Force is going to start revealing their,
you mean Global Farce? Ha ha ha!
Why you gotta disrespect our friend Jeff Jarrett?
I'm not. It's funny.
It's not funny.
It's but what it kind of is what it is. It's just another glorified independent company.
Well, they're gonna start revealing their roster.
It's independent talents.
Wait, say Raw.
Raw.
Say roster.
Roster.
Thank you.
Say Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
I've been wanting to do this for a while. Oh, come on!
I watched King of the Ring '93 the other day. What the? Why?
Again, we're back at King of the Ring?
We talked about King of the Ring last week.
I know we did, but why? What possessed Mr. Hughes to wrestle with his glasses on?
He always
that was
did.
The gimmick, dude.
Why?
You know what?
Why did IRS wrestle with the tie on?
No,
why
I agree with Matt.
Why do wrestlers wear with piercings
because,
and necklaces still
because
on?
Because a tie can't break in your eye if there's a botch. If you're wrestling Sin Cara, your
old
fucking
Sin Cara.
Eye is gone.
Wow, that sucked.
It wasn't meant to be funny. Why did you wrestle? There was no, like... Yeah, I'm going to wrestle in these glasses. And no one's like, yeah.
Didn't
you see that knot on Tatanka's head? Yeah, what if they miss your head and hit your eye and they break your glasses and then you're blind forever?
Maybe they were like athletic goggles.
I'm curious to see. I don't remember it. Remember when Jim Cornette took his dive and he busted his, he blew
neck?
His knees out?
Neck or
his knees? No, I thought it was his knees.
I thought he had a neck thing.
No, when he took the dive off the scaffold and Bubba Rogers was supposed to catch him.
Oh, you're talking about that.
Did Big Bubba have
ago.
His sunglasses on? I wonder. Because we may be onto something with the safety
no,
issue.
No, we're not
here.
Onto anything.
Yes, we are.
Stupid.
I mean, they didn't give
is
a
there
shit.
Any more? Is there any more Mexican Yago over there?
Yeah, it's in the refrigerator.
Oh, shit. No, I mean this stuff.
Yeah, it's in the refrigerator.
Awesome. I will BRB, LOL.
Just bring it over here.
Yes,
let's kill it.
Yeah.
Oh, did you put out that we were taking phone calls?
I said it. I don't know if anybody put it out.
Dana Warrior put it out.
You think so? I really think she's getting some.
I do, too.
At some point, she's got to. It's just human nature.
Why?
Oh,
tell
nice.
Tell them that it's human nature. Why? Do you do me that way?
I like that. That's good, Kevin. Kevin's
thank
got
you
some
much.
Pipes on him.
I do have some pipes, man. Oh, no. This is Twisted Tea, but go ahead.
Oh, mixture.
Oh, this is going to be deadly.
You think so?
I'm calling a cab home. I am calling a cab. This is going to be terrible, by the way.
No, it's good.
You just put margarita in my Twisted Tea.
Twisted Rita.
You may have just invented something, and you no longer have to wake up and go to work.
Wake up!
Like I do anyway?
Look. When people call, don't be a dick. Let's let them, maybe they give us a topic. Maybe they can
nobody's
bring something
calling.
To the show. Why?
How are they going to follow JTG?
That's a good question.
They're who's
going to
follow
that E60 WWE thing.
All right. You want to do like a topic and have a little discussion? Because I was thinking of something.
Well,
go ahead.
Then go for it.
All right. I was thinking about like, you know how many times like, you know, Ric Flair is what, like the 16 time heavyweight
47
champion?
Times.
Right. And now you look at whenever they announce somebody's resume now, like you got like Randy Orton or John Cena.
Oh,
or
Cena
Edge,
especially.
Like they make a point to say umpteen time world champion.
Yes.
Okay. What do you think is more impressive? Like just for example, like a Hulk Hogan is a 6-time world champion, including whatever, or 12-time, including WCW, WWE. But like Bret Hart only held the world title in WWF 5 times, mm-hmm. once in WCW. I think. So is it more impressive to just have like 5 title reigns over a longer career or 13 or 14 title reigns like all mushed into one?
I think like as much as I hate like a Bruno Sammartino.
Like year long.
His two title reigns are like more important than like Triple H's 13. Like when the belt, when you're playing hot potato with the belt, and I know that's like they're not doing it.
There was a time when that was actually okay. In the Attitude Era, that was, I feel like that was
all
right.
Because that was done to get you to switch the channels.
Yeah, it was done for no other reason than to pop ratings and to get people to watch. That's why.
So do you put as much stock in, and I don't know if you talked about this before, we did 275 episodes, so it could have came up. Do you take more stock in, like, obviously John Cena is a certified Hall of Famer, best of all time, one of the best of all time, but how do you consider his title reigns over like Bret Hart's or Shawn Michaels, who didn't have a whole lot?
I mean, it depends on what platform you put it on. I'm sorry for cutting you off.
No, it's all right. Who did Cena beat? Cena beat
everyone.
Edge. Cena beat for titles.
Yeah,
Cena
everyone.
Beat Edge. Cena beat Triple H. Cena also beat JBL
for his first one.
Yeah,
and also Randy Orton. Obviously, I'm sure is on.
Did he
there.
Beat the Big Show for one of them?
I'm sure he probably did.
Did he beat the Big Show for the U.S. title, though?
No,
at
he
WrestleMania
did.
WrestleMania 20.
Yeah, he might have beaten some other people for some other
but,
shit.
But, like, I'm thinking, like, I'm looking at these, the numbers, and I'm like, former, they always hype the numbers, former this many times.
It doesn't mean what it used to.
No, yeah. Definitely not.
Going into 19, I want to say going into 1990, they were already starting to flip the titles at least twice a year.
But you look back at Hulk Hogan. If Hulk Hogan was in this generation,
he'd be a 45-time
champion.
He'd be a 40,
exactly.
He's so got to get the wins back, brother.
So do you put more stock in what he did in 90 and 89 and 88 and 91 and as opposed to what guys like Cena or The Rock?
Yeah, because
like, how many times was The Rock champion? If you can pull that up, how many times he was WWE champion?
I think
champion?
10 time or something like that.
Is it that right many? Now.
Might be.
I don't think it is.
But he doesn't have that long of, like, long of reigns like but, overall.
Yeah, and he also wasn't – he took his time in the mid-card,
but
too.
But champs winning and losing and winning and losing belts, I've never been a fan of that.
He is a 10-time
there you go.
WWE champion.
Oh, because he also had that last run when he came back.
Yeah. He won the WWE championship 8 times and the WCW world championship twice.
Yeah.
All right. So, I mean, that's a lot of times.
Yeah,
even for,
that's what I mean. Like,
but look, if you – I'm sorry to cut you off again. If
no,
you
it's
go
fine.
Through the –
He meant
look,
me.
98. November,
that's fine.
November 98, The Rock wasn't the champ for a month before Mankind won. Then he won it. The Rock won it back a month later.
Was The Rock even champ in 98? Wasn't he still feuding for the IC belt then?
No, it was 98.
No, Survivor Series when he won
that
the
was,
tournament.
That was Deadly
Mankind.
Game.
That was his first title, though.
Yeah, and that went back and forth with Mankind
but
until
then,
he lost it to Austin.
The Rock wins it again, and then 2 days later, he loses it. And then less than a month later, he wins it back. And then Austin wins it at Mania. And then... like it's just like boom, boom,
it's,
boom.
Yeah, it was
like
constant,
every month,
nonstop title.
In August and September, the title changed hands 4 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like that.
But,
was, like you said, it was the pop of rating.
And, yeah, and people didn't put much stock in the championships at that point. I don't think. I honestly don't think
you
they
might
did.
Be right, but I think, it, and we talked about this last week with Matt Cross, Son of Havoc, about how it was okay to have more than 2 people. And when, as long as the title's going from a legitimate competitor to a legitimate competitor, I don't think people cared. Like, I mean, I wouldn't. If
it, Kevin, it was 50-50 booking in the main event. That's what it was.
But it was so good. Like, you had the triple
the
threat
stories
match.
Were compelling, and they were interesting. Let's put it that way. The stories were very – it was interesting to see what was going to happen week to week. Absolutely. Did it fit what was going on at that point? Yeah. Does that mean the titles had the same value that they did years before that? I don't think
so. Well, I'll tell you this. I'll just compare 2 promotions. When WWE did it, it was fine. When WCW did it, it seemed terrible.
You know why? Here's the difference. Vince Russo, former champion. David,
I'm
getting there, though.
Okay.
David Arquette, former champion. Finger poke of doom. Goldberg losing to a cattle prod. There were a lot of shitty shenanigans going on around the WCW World Championship.
Exactly.
A lot of shitty shenanigans.
It was, and you can make the same point. Yeah, it was just a pop of rating, but it seemed so inferior when WCW... I'm telling you right now, Ric Flair won the world title wearing slacks and a freaking polo shirt.
Woo!
Against Kevin... Or Kevin Nash just handed him the belt or some bullshit like that. It was going from Kevin Nash, DDP,
yeah, same
Ric
thing.
Flair. But that, for some reason, why did that feel so
because they
terrible
also,
compared to when... I didn't mind when Mankind, Triple H,
they,
The Rock won.
Because they fit. And they didn't need to twist the championship to fit the stories. The stories fit, and the championships kind of worked around it
right.
And had a place in it. Because, I mean, all right, you mentioned Ric Flair. How many other times were there, like when Hogan came out to wrestle Jarrett? Jarrett lays down, Hogan pins him, walks off, and all of a sudden, oh, there's going to be a fight for the real championship? You
yeah,
know what
Booker
I'm saying?
T, Jeff Jarrett.
And then on top of that, we're starting over. It's going to be a new season. We're stripping every one of their championships.
See, I loved that at the time.
They put the title on Chris Benoit, and then when Benoit left, they're like, sorry, your foot was under the rope. We're giving the title back to Sid. You can't do that. And they were doing it
week
in and
week
out. That
was like the last-ditch effort to get Benoit to stay.
You're right.
Though.
I didn't mind the reset, but the problem with the reset was all of a sudden...
You can't erase people's memories.
Yeah,
you
and
can't.
All of a sudden you elevated 50 people that nobody gave a shit about and just expected us to accept it.
Yep.
And that's not how you do it. I've been trying to watch Greed like from at work when I'm bored, just getting through it. There was so much on that show. Like Queeway opens the show against that Jason Jett, who wasn't bad.
Jason Jett was good. Wasn't he easy money?
Needed, yeah.
Yeah. He needed, he looked like he needed a bit more work. Like that match really went way too long and they were having a big time filling gaps. But by and large, you needed stuff like that. You needed to get these guys out there and have them make a bit of a name for themselves. Like the tag team title tournament for the Cruiserweight tag belts.
Oh, God.
It was
Skipper and Kid Romeo.
Yeah, it was Skipper and Kid Romeo. And people weren't invested in Skipper and Kid Romeo at that point.
No one even knew who freaking Kid Romeo was.
It would take them a few years to know who these guys were in TNA. You know what I'm saying?
And here they are. I wonder what happened to Elix Skipper. He's a freaking talented dude, man. But anyway.
No, he was. And he did get better in his time with TNA.
Well, he was good in WCW when he had the... he was part of Team Canada with Lamb's.
Yeah, but a lot of those
WCW
teams
was so far.
Like a lot
in the
of those
shitter.
Teams, like yeah, like the Young Dragons and Three Count. Yeah. We started giving shit about Three Count because they built him up.
But they put Tank Abbott with him.
Well, I mean, aside from that, I mean, don't forget they put fucking Michael P.S. Hayes with the Hardys to try to get them over.
That was just to resurrect fucking P.S. Hayes' career.
Well, I think it was to help out the Hardys too, because I mean, they were just a match or two away from really hitting their stride with Edge and Christian.
Yeah, but at the same point, how do you take? You know, we've been watching forever. That's Dork Hendricks. How are you going to just turn around and be like, that's Michael P.S. Hayes?
Well, I don't think
that's
anyone,
another thing, too.
That was his first real appearance as Michael P.S. Hayes in WWE.
Yeah, but the history of WWE at that point was Doc Hendricks.
Right, but I don't think anyone put the... It took me, like, I remember watching when Doc Hendricks debuted or whatever, when he first started. It took me a good, like, 3-4 weeks to put my finger on who it was. I was also 11 years old.
There was... guys where I completely missed the boat.
With like, who they were?
Like, and we talk about it now, and I'm like, how are you go back and you say, I'm like, how do you not know? Hendricks was one of those guys, like, he's a free bird. I'm like, he's in my living room, like, 9 a.m.
Well, I had no idea who Stan Lane was when he first showed up. But again, I was also 11, 12 years old, so I wouldn't have any recollection.
I just thought that Stan Lane looked completely different when he came in. I was like, wow, he looks completely different than what I remember.
I never realized he was a worker then. And,
sweet Stan.
Then, though, I'm talking about when I was, of course, 11, 12.
I hear you.
Because I wasn't exposed to WCW or NWA or Smoky Mountain as much as I was to WWE. WCW, yeah. Obviously, I was.
But, Saturday nights, baby.
Yeah, that's it.
Getting ready to go out.
Like,
put
who
that
else?
Shit on.
Like, how many people put two and two together when Zeb Coulter came back to manage Jack Swagger that he was Uncle Zebekiah from JBL?
I used to call my little brother Uncle Zebekiah, and it would piss him off.
Why?
I don't know. I guess he didn't like it.
It's a funny name.
Sorry, Jesse.
You know, it's a good name.
Zebekiah. But like until I started watching ECW, like I didn't put together that Brian Lee was the fake Undertaker.
Okay. You mean that's okay though.
The Undertaker.
Yeah,
but you didn't have to solve that. That was a really good job.
That was Leslie Nielsen's job.
That was Leslie Nielsen and George Kennedy.
Stole it right from you.
Fuck.
All right, so who? All right, if you could go back in time and see that someone jumped to somewhere else, who did you not put together who the other person was?
Oh boy.
The Widowmaker.
Barry Windham?
Yeah.
Obviously.
Skinner. Skinner, I had no idea that was Steve Kern.
I agree.
No idea.
See, I never put together that Repo Man was Barry Darso.
No, I knew from the tattoo. The tattoo was a dead giveaway.
The tattoo. I never
It was the Eagle.
I knew Jim the Anvil Neidhart when he was who.
How about
you can tell by the shade.
Do you remember Bill Eadie when he was the Masked Superstar before he became Axe?
I remember it.
I mean, how are you going to know somebody was a mask?
You can pick up on the mannerisms, the body shape.
Like,
Playboy Buddy Rose was
the
executioner.
Yeah.
Opening match of WrestleMania 1.
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah. It was Playboy Buddy Rose.
And then Terry Gordy.
Against Tito Santana?
Yes. Yeah, that was pre-blowaway.
Terry Gordy was the Undertaker Mankind executioner.
He was the executioner
He was that executioner.
And he was actually in pretty good shape then, too.
Well, his head came out of the ECW run with Steve Williams against the Eliminators, which is on Volume 3.
Nice.
With our good pal.
Doc and
Gordy.
Doc and Gordy.
Shit, who else?
Shit.
Like, just for example.
Well, like Diesel. Kevin Nash. Like,
I didn't know who Oz or Vinny Vegas was. I had no idea.
Oh, I knew who Vinny Vegas was.
I don't remember seeing that.
I don't remember seeing Oz. I don't remember seeing... I do kind of remember the Master Blasters. Him and Al Green, I think, was the other guy in the Master Blasters.
Let's stay together.
I'll look up the Master Blasters.
I'm pretty sure
now.
It was Kevin Nash and Al Green.
You sure it wasn't the Ass Blasters?
It was the Lana Blasters.
Lana, you pig.
But like when some of them are obvious, like when Johnny B. Bad jumped to WWE and
Johnny B. Bad.
And you see him backstage introduced as Mark Mero.
You don't want to get him, man.
That's not Mark Mero. That's Johnny B. Bad.
Right. Well, that's, yeah.
And Hunt Triple H, I remember him as John Paul Levesque and Terror Rising and...
Yes, I remember that too.
I'm trying to think. I guess the one that I didn't put two and two together was Norman the Lunatic coming over it to become Bastion Booger. I don't think I saw that.
That's Mockin' Singh. He was a big
Canada.
Yes,
Canada, big.
Bret Hart loves him. Puts him over big time. And they made him Friar Ferguson before he was Bastion Booger.
I think they were at the same time. I think
it was one week on Raw at the same time. Nah, it was
doing,
one
pulling
week.
Double duty.
You said duty.
I did say duty.
And then you said pulling double.
I did. Dana Warrior gets crushed on the daily.
And then, like, you'd go back and you'd, like I'd get my RF video catalog and I'd go through it and I'd be like, who is this dirty white boy, Tony Anthony? And then that was T.L.
Hopper.
Ugh, when he ate the turd out of the pool and, like, during the Diva Beach party.
Dude, Sonny looked, our good friend Tammy looked Sonny. Fucking so hot. That was when, like, they really started pulling the PG-13 shit. Like, Savio Vega was Quang.
Like, yeah, he was Al Snow as Avatar.
Yes. Yeah, he was. And he was Leaf Cassidy, too.
Savio Vega was also, he was TNT in Puerto Rico.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I explode.
He had a lot longer run than I thought he did in WWE.
He was around for a while because he went to the Barriquas, too.
Yep. And
Tostadas, Barriquas.
Right.
I have my license, you know.
I'm still in my mid-90s kick on the network where I'm watching all the houses and pay-per-views.
I've been watching old ECW on Hardcore TV or Hardcore TV on ECW or whatever.
Some of those gimmicks in the 90s were...
The Tommy Dreamer, It's Just Not Worth It promo that Cactus Jack did. I watched that today.
That might be one of the best promos
I was in awe all over again. It was fantastic.
I just watched I think it was Mind Games in Philly when Tommy Dreamer and Sandman and Paul Lee were...
When Mankind wrestled Shawn Michaels.
Yep.
Which
great
was
match.
An awesome match.
Mick Foley's greatest, his most hands down favorite match of all time.
Was it? I like the match he had against Sting at Bash at the Beach.
Sting.
Is that?
Was that? Was that
or Halloween Havoc?
Was that the preface where he headbutt the milk crate and he cracked his head on the floor? He was doing a promo where he was putting his head through a milk crate and it went completely through it and he hit the floor.
He's going to be celebrating his 50th birthday at PWS.
That's right.
Are you guys going to go to that
last year with us?
In all likelihood, I think...
Is that another show?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
They're
Super
doing
card.
Shows 2 weeks again away from each
it
other?
It just happens to be, scheduling.
Well,
I mean,
that's like the WrestleMania Super
I'm
card.
Going out for the 23rd. I don't know about the 6th. I'd like to.
Did you see former guest Kevin Sullivan's going to be there?
Yeah.
Barry Von Raske.
He accidentally FaceTime phone called me the other day when I was...
I think he has a crush
Whoa. Tell me this story.
Tell me more.
I was working the pizza truck, and my fucking phone rang, and I reached in my back pocket. It was like one of those like rings, and then they hang up. I looked, it's like Kevin Sullivan FaceTime. I'm like, that must be a mistake.
He just wanted to see your pretty beard.
No, you guys hit it off. You guys hit it off quite well.
You did.
You guys were like texting buddies for a while,
too.
Yeah,
I'm jealous.
I would love to hang out with Kevin Sullivan.
Purple Haze.
I just want to watch baseball with him.
Tell him to bring the Wizard shirt. I saw him on that show.
Oh, McDodge?
Yeah, I saw him on that show. That was nuts, man.
You know about the legend of McDodge?
No.
What?
No.
He lives in the woods, bro. He lives off the land.
Someone was, like, stealing his stash, and he made, like, traps in, like, tree stumps or, like, hiding places where he would
don't
hide
fuck
all the
with,
shit.
Don't mess
Is he
with
related
McDodge.
To Billy Ford?
Who's Billy Ford?
You know, Johnny Lincoln?
Who's... What?
Billy Pontiac. I'm naming cars.
If you're listening live, call in and save us.
Yes, please.
201-467-8949.
Are we ending early to cut liners?
Yeah, but let's talk about our time.
No, I'm just asking.
Some pointing. Of our friends who pointing. Made, I'm looking right at The Wizards by Chris Payne. He was on SmackDown with his Tough Enough video.
He was.
He's a douche.
Let me ask you a question.
You look pretty good.
Because a lot of people in the wrestling business hate the idea of Tough Enough.
A lot.
We talked about it. Oh, you were here.
We touched the surface with Matt Cross, but I mean, Kevin Matthews has been very, I don't want to say out, he's been very vocal about it.
As he should. Yeah. What?
Who
what
you... gives a shit? People want to, look.
It's a TV show. It's
what
Matt said.
The fucking Kardashians and the fucking Honey Boo Boos. Everybody's looking for their 15 minutes.
Yeah, but then you have these guys like Kevin Matthews that have spent their whole adult life breaking their ass to get where they are. And then all of a sudden this Tough Enough is thrown out on the air, and all of a sudden, all these people come out of the woodwork.
But you know what?
I will hold judgment on that until I see who is actually cast.
Yeah, you know what? You mean to tell me you don't think,
even though we know who is actually cast,
yeah, that they're going to pull. Like, yes, you will find a few or three chubs and slubs that they're going to put in just for shits and giggles, and maybe they might surprise you. But by and large, they're going to look for people that are passionate about the business and want to be involved. People like Chris Payne who have been doing it.
Exactly.
Actually,
that's my
doing
point.
The grind.
There's,
not some
and he's
fucking,
got a good story, too, behind him.
Not some 400-pound slob that's going, like, I want to be a wrestler. And when he's fucking running the ropes on Tough Enough, almost falling through them.
Yeah, but there's all those people, this is my dream.
But, no, it's not your
Kevin
dream.
Did you enroll
in wrestling school?
Nope.
Do you currently go to wrestling school?
Nope.
Then it's not your fucking dream.
Yes, it is. I had a dream last night, and I was a professional wrestler.
No, don't say this is what I was meant to do this. If you're 26 years old and you're working at the fucking Home Depot, if it was really your dream, you would have been 5-6 years into wrestling school.
And let's be honest, too. The wrestler nowadays is a lot more in shape. And a lot more aerobatic and aerodynamic and a lot more fluid.
Is it aerobatic?
Yes. Than people were 10 or 15 years ago. If you want to be involved in this, you got to be in shape. You've got to be in shape.
And I seriously doubt that. I mean, other than maybe for comedic purposes, maybe one, like you said, chub or slub.
Yeah, I mean, look.
I'm pretty sure everyone else is going to be.
Look, Bray Wyatt has a job, and he is not looking like he's in shape. I guarantee you he's in better shape than half the roster is. I guarantee you, even though he's a chubster.
Makes sense.
Guaranteed.
But he has a whole lot of experience under his belt now, and he's like, I mean, we always say ring shape is different than regular shape.
Yeah.
So if you can move, if you could.
But he's also, I'm sure, he's in good shape underneath that gut.
Oh, I bet. I bet he's like a football player. You see these big fat football players, but they could still run like
just the way you said that. These big fat football.
They could still run like a 4.8, 4.9, 40.
Yeah, right? Skype's on. Nobody's calling.
No. Is the feed up, Dick?
Oh, why is it off?
I'm asking you.
No, we're rolling, baby. Sorry.
Rolling.
Nobody's calling.
Well, because if we're not on.
No, we're on. You've got 2 minutes, folks. 2 minute warning, and then I'm disconnecting Skype.
Woo!
Fuck all y'all. This has been fun. Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo.
I think I need to get a bigger fridge for down here so we could keep some more alcoholic beverages on the chill.
You might be cut off, dude.
If you'd like to help us, you can go to ProWrestlingTees.com. Oh, quick announcement. Apparently, we are no longer allowed to sell Suplex City shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees. This came down as a judgment today.
So if you have one of those shirts, consider yourself lucky as hell.
Because we don't.
We don't have them.
Our collections will be forever incomplete.
We don't even support ourselves. That's like so bad. How did we not order a shirt?
Honestly, and I hate it. Sounds like bullshit, but I was really trying to get an order together. I've been looking to support some more of the boys, like fellow friends of ours, selling shirts.
Jesus Christ!
Sorry. Talking about some of the boys, I'm hoping there's a couple Jackson Family T-shirts in our future.
Yeah. Shining Edward Jackson.
I ain't paying for shit, son.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hooked up enough of the PWS boys. About time we get some love back.
They give us plenty of love.
They do give us love.
Easy with the margaritas.
Yeah, I haven't gotten a hand job from Chris Payne in 3 months.
He's a TV star, bro. You think you're just going to get a hand job?
Was that crossing the line?
You're not going to put any work in?
You gave yourself many hand jobs, though, to his picture, I
bet. Of course.
I think if you go down to the Salvation Army store and you find yourself a Creed t-shirt, you might actually up the chances.
We should put a Creed shirt on Pro Wrestling Tees.
With like Chris Payne, like arms wide open, and it just says Shining Wizards.
Instead of Creed, it should do a Chris Payne shirt.
Instead of Creed, it says Chris. That'd be perfect.
People were asking about that.
We better do this before he steals it, bro.
He wouldn't be stealing it.
How do we get a Pro Wrestling Tees account? Like,
you have to have.
You know what you do?
I know how.
Email Pro Wrestling Tees, and they will fucking tell you.
All right.
We're in the podcast business.
You are
bitches.
Something else.
Fuck all y'all.
Wow, really?
In the Lana.
Isn't that weird?
That still doesn't even make sense the way you said it.
In the anal. Oh, shit.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
You might be the only caller we are taking tonight. Shining Wizards.
Hey, guys. It's Lisa.
Oh, yeah. What's up, Lisa?
She got a hot package for us.
Happy Cinco de Mayo.
How are you celebrating tonight?
Just come back from the gym.
Boo!
If by gym you mean
the
alcohol
bar.
Service place.
What?
That would be great.
How's the Squatch treating you these days?
Good.
Awesome.
So what are you bringing to the
table?
Well,
thanks for calling. Yeah,
Look, I feel like she's listened long enough that she knows where to pick her spots because we're just animals when people call, especially women. So, Lisa.
I know this. I got home and my feet just came up.
Did you shower before you left the gym?
There's no showers at the gym.
Nobody showers at the gym anymore, dude.
Really? Is that creepy to do?
Not at this one. It's like a mom and pop gym that I go to.
Mom and pop gym?
You get like a handful of Werther's Originals when you're done?
There's only one.
We ain't got a shower. Stick these down your drawers. You smell like candy.
Why do you still put up with us? In one word, describe.
In one word?
Or maybe three. In three words, Lisa, why are you a fan?
I got three words. Bunch of idiots.
Of the Shining Wizards. Why do you keep putting up with our nonsense? Three words. Go. Give me some more of that margarita shit.
You can't even wait for the answer, you lush.
Go, Lisa.
Go, Lisa.
No, pour it.
No, I can't even stand.
I'm going to drop that.
I know.
All right, hold on. Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay, what?
Why
she's choking.
I don't put up with that shit.
Yeah.
No, why do you listen to this nonsense?
Because I like your nonsense.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Lisa, we're going to start making armbands for Kevin about past wrestlers that have died that he cried about. Do you have any recommendations? Would you like to buy homemade original
crying
construction
Kevin
paper
armband.
Kevin armband?
It's the only one to go with my Heart Foundation shirt.
Told you. I got mad love for the Owen Hart
armband.
I know
you got mad love for the Owen. It's still the worst armband ever.
You never even saw it. You have no idea.
It was the only armband ever, so by default, it was the worst armband ever.
Stupid head.
Lisa, will you be joining the Jersey people? For PWS in June?
Yes, I will.
I can't believe we got serious Matt there for a minute. What? He like leaned in, he started whispering.
Well, I feel bad. She
his
called
tongue,
in to
his
support
tongue was
the show,
on the microphone.
And like Kevin's, he's got an erection again, like when we talked to JTG. You're over here half in the bag.
JTG, jizz,
I thought that was funny.
Oh my goodness gracious!
Goodness gracious!
Goodness gracious! When is it? Did you send the package yet?
No, not yet. I have to get some more stuff for it.
More stuff. Yeah. Disregard the titty pick comment that we made earlier in the show.
Yeah, but if you want to send us a dildo to decorate it with the Ultimate Warrior tassels,
we got great ideas.
Yes, we're gonna have arts and crafts session 1 week on the show.
Where?
I do work buying a video store.
Are they cheaper in Texas than they are in Jersey?
How would she know?
I don't know.
Stop by. Take a picture. Send it to us.
Yeah, listen, don't spend money on them, but if they're throwing out some old ones in the dumpster.
Yeah, if you just so happen to go around to the back door and they're throwing them out.
Go back to the Lana.
Don't shake your head, Kevin. No, we haven't started embarrassing you yet.
I was thinking of something funny to say, and you guys just ruined it. It was good. Now you'll never
know. No, it wasn't.
What's that?
Ooh, she's surprised Kevin is even talking.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Ultimate Margaritas will do to you.
That bottle is just glorious. Look
it
at
is.
That thing.
I need more of that.
It's like a trophy. Lisa.
Yes.
What are you, like her father? Lisa,
you shower before you leave the gym next time. I don't know. I'm just fucking around. Just busting.
Are you celebrating Cinco de Mayo like us?
No.
No?
Can't. Why? Right
now. Boo. Shame on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, but you're like 2 hours behind us. So
yeah,
you
still have
catch
time.
Up.
It's like an hour.
No, I'm not 2 hours behind. I'm an hour behind y'all.
Boom. Roasted.
Did you say y'all?
Yes, I said y'all.
Do you talk like that? Like you do the y'alls and the howdies?
No, I say y'all, but I don't say howdy.
Do you own a cowboy hat?
No, I don't.
We must sound like a bunch of retards to you, though.
No, because I went to fucking Dallas, I couldn't find a cowboy hat to save my life. I wanted to buy a cowboy hat.
Because that's a stereotype.
No, but I didn't get asked to wear a cowboy hat to the June show, and I may or may not do it.
Wait. Who asked you to wear a hat?
They're like, it would be, before I was saying, they're like, oh, it would be funny if you were to wear a cowboy hat and cowboy boots to the show. And I was like, I don't know.
Who said that?
Sounds like a terrible idea.
Was that one of Ronnie's ideas?
No.
Well, this took a bad turn.
Yeah, well, whose idea was it?
No.
Why? I don't get it.
You don't get what?
Why do they think it would be funny? I feel like they're just picking on you.
No, they're not picking on me.
So, but you would have to go buy cowboy boots and a hat.
Yeah.
These things aren't free.
I don't own cowboy boots.
You should start a GoFundMe. I'm trying, guys. Someone fucking do something here.
No, you guys
could
die. This
is the worst conversation
ever.
I'm
just waiting for you guys to die. No, keep going. This is great.
Lisa, you're coming up for the Super Show, PWS.
Supercard.
Oh, excuse me. Supercard. My apologies. So many guests announced for Mick Foley's 50th birthday. Outside of the dead Terry Funk, is there somebody you're looking forward to meeting?
I don't care.
No.
No.
Oh.
Wow, this makes for great radio.
Is it radio? Do we qualify as radio?
I'd tell us that. It's just a term.
Lisa, you're beautiful. Thank you for calling in. Go listen
you're
to.
Welcome.
You can listen to the beginning of the show and then tell.
Yeah,
us.
You'll enjoy the show up until the minute 47 mark.
Lizzie, your continued support is appreciated. I look forward to your package.
Wait, it's not a package. It's a box!
I look forward to you sending me your box.
Is your box stuffed with wonderful things?
Can we see your
yes,
stuff?
Yes, it's going to be.
What do you mean it's going to be? Hold on. Where's the Cinco de Mayo going?
What?
She said it's going to be, like, in the near future.
Fuck her right in the pussy!
All right.
Lisa, thank you so much for calling.
Lisa, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Lisa.
I'm gonna go do some more squats.
All right, enjoy the squats.
All right, bye.
Later.
See ya. Oh, we're a disaster. It's fucking hot down here.
Well, because we are on fire, that's why.
Holy Christ.
Couldn't be
you,
further from the truth.
What do you mean, we're on fire? How is that margarita iced tea mix?
That one's done.
Was it good, though?
That was delicious, actually.
You gotta invent that, dude.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoyed the debauchery of the Cinco de Mayo episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wizards Podcast.
So
follow
drunk.
Us on Facebook at Wizards Podcast.
No, Facebook is the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast page.
Yeah, but isn't it / Wizards
you
Podcast?
You asked me this last week and I don't know.
Well, how come you didn't figure this out? You had a whole effing week to figure this out. I'm so annoyed
at the fact that we can't change our fucking name back.
It's
to
ridiculous.
What it was.
It's Facebook.com/ Wizards Podcast.
Thank you.
There you go.
Wizards Podcast at gmail.com if you want to send us mail or pics of your penises.
If you want to audition to be our host, co-host. Send videos. To that email address,
yeah.
I'm guessing?
Wizardspodcast@gmail.com.
And if we like them, we'll put them up on the YouTube
and
page.
And it's going to be our Tough Enough. So
or
if you
like
want to
audio.
Join us,
maybe
audio.
We give out the phone. If you want to call and leave some kind of like minute voicemail.
No, send video.
You don't want to play voicemail?
But it's a podcast.
All right.
We're just going to reject all the ugly people.
Yes.
Yeah, and I don't want to get like into something like if someone sends a video and then we
let's
put it out.
Let's put it like this.
We should have thought about
let's
this.
Let's put it like this. If you are confident enough that you think you're at least a 9, man or woman,
ooh, 9,
send us a video. And
tall
if
order.
We judge
wrestling fans.
If we judge that you are not a 9, you will be that you are a 9, you will be considered. However, if you are not a 9,
you're making this way too complicated.
Yeah,
you really are.
We will mock the shit out of you.
Someone's going to mock the shit out of you.
I'm already mocked.
Get your fucking stinky feet out of
shut up. Kayfabe my feet.
Tell,
dude.
Tell Tony how to live in his own house.
I will. This is a studio. This is
Smash
studio
Wrestling.
A.
Smash-wrestling.com, at Smash Wrestling. Wildcat Sports. WildcatSports.com, at Wildcat Sports.
Jesus, act like you care, dude.
Cat is with a K. PWS Pro Wrestling Syndicate.com, at Pro Re Syndicate, because Jamie is a retard in coming up with that. Don't even ask what their other Twitter handle is for 2.5 wrestlers, even though they're on the Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Great shows. Listen. Blah. House of Glory, HouseofGloryOnline.com. The great JTG, his book, What the Fuck Am I Writing a Book About?, drops tomorrow.
Damn, why did I write this book?
Thank you, Kevin. JTG, 1284 on the Twitter.
And I believe it's also JTG 10 or 121084 on Instagram. He wanted to plug that. So
yes, because he's got JT memes. He should copyright
that. He might
that.
Have one about us, so we'll see. Do we even have Instagram?
That would be awesome.
I don't have an Instagram.
My wife does.
Do we
I
have
feel
one?
Like one of our fans' kids made an Instagram for us and never uses it.
That what? Son of a bitch. We should have one. We should do that.
I don't know what you're talking about. We'll have to talk about that off
I'll
the air.
I'll tell you off the air.
All right, fine. Kevin, you made an announcement a few weeks ago that you might be retiring. Is that the case?
That's not really the
retiring
case.
Retiring from what?
Doing something.
Sleeping till
did
noon.
You ever see that Seinfeld where like Kramer's like, the strike's over, I'm going back to work, and they're like, what the fuck did you do for
do
the last 10
years? Do
you
want me to go through my group text message today where between 12 and 2 o'clock it's just Tony going, Kevin, are you awake? Kevin, are you
well,
awake?
Because I thought Kevin,
worked,
you
well,
awake?
I did work behind the bar. I got into another fucking bar fight. It was great.
Jesus, Kevin.
See, Kevin and I were going to do the show as a two-man group again tonight, so I was hoping that my tag team partner was alive, so I just wanted to make sure he was okay.
I was up. I went back to sleep. And I worked all weekend. I worked Saturday, Sunday, Monday at the bar.
He's so. A maniac.
All right, we're out of here.
All right. That's what we're closing with? That's a good choice, actually.
Thank you. It's
yes, but I'm still doing comedy, and next week I'll put all the shows up because there's a few. So.
Do we have anything else to plug?
Pro Wrestling Syndicate, May 23rd.
Yes.
ProWrestlingSyndicate.com for all the information. Double Ring Battle Royal in the New York, New Jersey's area, Saturday night slash Sunday
The New
mornings.
Jersey's area? There's
four,
two of them?
It's 4:30?
What? No.
A.M.?
Oh, the show. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. 4:30
It's on in Philly, Minnesota, Boston. It's all over the place.
Yeah, now that Vern Gagne is dead, they need more wrestling programming in Minnesota.
All he's right.
Dead. Vern Gagne?
Vern Gagne Gagne.
Thank you very much for joining us tonight on The Shining Wizards. We will be back.
Special thanks to our friend JTG. What?
Not even a care in the world.
And radio.
All right.
Everybody,
I'm doing
I'm
an intro
Mexican.
And the close next
Whoa.
Week.
Whoa.
What's wrong with my intro?
No,
this
the intro,
radio.
Intro was good this week.
I might be around next week.
Who's? How come you're not seeing
We're bringing
me?
KP in next week.
We could do a four-man show.
Absolutely.
KP Burke, the Maybe. Quesadilla winner.
Edward right, Jackson, you want those shirts?
Hell yeah.
All right, brother.
Edward all right, boys. Jackson. Be good. Thank you guys for listening. We
Shining
love you.
Shining Edward Jackson.
Catch you next week.
The yep. leader of the Jackson family. Radio.
Is he like a parakeet? Just throw a blanket over his head.
Whoa, radio. Good night, everyone.